slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God, what's gonna happen?
News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
Spanish Announce Table, lucky number 13 on the Trending Topics Network.
Yes, it is.
Say hello, T-Mac.
Hello, T-Mac.
You're T-Mac.
Oh, I thought I was just repeating.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's generally what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
I just go whatever your thought is.
We're getting a late start. What's new?
Right? What is new?
What is new? What is new is maybe some of the listeners.
Yes.
Maybe some of the listeners.
Thank you so much for all of the downloads, all of the hits on the trendingtopicsnetwork.com. And even thanks to the news outlets for picking up the story.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Dolph Ziggler, what we did with that interview, we didn't really dig deep. There was nothing revealing.
Well, they weren't going to let us.
Right. But it was really cool to get some honest answers from a pro wrestler that's still going today.
Yeah. You know? And you know, like, the news outlets, they picked out the ones that people cared about.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they're not going to post his storyline suggestion, even though that was good.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, so last week we interviewed Martin Thomas and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, Martin Thomas was amazing as well.
But obviously, the Dolph Ziggler is what gained the notoriety and obviously our highest rated show since.
Yes.
So if we have any that are sticking around.
Thank you.
And welcome.
And this one will be no guests, so you'll get what a typical show will be. Although we're really working, but we are working to get more guests as we go on in the future. Yeah. We really like interviewing people. We get a good response from
learning new things too.
Yeah. I mean, the Martin Thomas learning about the ref, that was so amazing to me, just to understand what they actually do during a match. One thing that still sticks out to me is in the corner when one guy is just laying the boots on someone, and you have the ref yelling, like, hey, get out of there.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense why they're doing it, because the two guys are talking.
Yes.
Now, that's pretty easy to pick up on, but I never knew it until saw it.
Or now you're going to see it every time.
Yeah, now I'm
Now
I
know when a ref's yelling, I'm looking at the guys.
Yep.
What are they saying?
Yeah, even with Appleberry, going back a few interviews ago, and he hates the false finish. He's like, oh, really? A kick's going to get a two count? And now every time there's a kick that gets a two count, or a clothesline, and it gets a two count, I'm like, damn it, Appleberry. Now I see it too.
See it every time, yeah. Well, we are going to break this one down. Normally we start off with Raw and then go to SmackDown and then Impact. This week we had a pay-per-view. We had Bound for Glory. And we always kick off, if we have a pay-per-view, we do that first.
Right.
But Impact happened before it.
So and we're going to do a 1-2 punch.
Right, we're going to do Impact and Bound for Glory kind of together. You'll pick up on the show. Screw you. We're going to do how we want to do it. It's
you
our
ain't,
show.
You ain't in this room telling us what to do.
This is free.
Yeah.
You got the show for free, so you just got to listen to us do it however we want.
We will take advice, though, if you give us a dollar.
Yeah,
still throwing
true.
That out.
That is true. We should have charged a dollar for the Dolph Ziggler interview. Yeah?
No, because they could have just read it on the news outlet.
If that news outlet gave us a dollar.
Come on, news outlets.
Yeah, you owe us a dollar. But what we always kick off with is news. News and rumors of the world of wrestling.
I love news.
Yeah, you ready to start the news?
Uh-huh.
100 genies?
What?
100 genies?
What?
Genies.
I know what you're saying,
what? Like they make wishes, they grant 3 wishes?
Mm-hmm.
100 genies.
Okay.
Uh-huh. John Cena became the first recipient of the 300th Wish Award at the annual Make-A-Wish Awards ceremony in Glendale, Arizona. His award was presented by Wish mom Judith Harrison, whose late son, Justin, was the second Wish child Cena ever met. Cena set the Make-A-Wish record this June by granting his 300th wish to 7-year-old Jonathan Littman, an honor that was also celebrated on ABC's Good Morning America. Cena has been personally granting wishes for more than 8 years, and during the course of WWE's 25-year alliance with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the company and its superstars have granted more than 4,000 wishes.
Now, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Before I crap on this, let me tell you first, I'm not really crapping on it.
Right.
I think it's amazing what they do. I think it's amazing what they've done for 25 years. It still warms my heart that kids are asking to see pro wrestlers.
Yes, yeah.
And it's a really, really, really great thing that John Cena does this. It's probably his most admirable attribute.
Oh, yeah.
That he does.
100%, yeah.
The reason why I don't like it is because, God dang it, Cena, you're already squeaky clean.
Yeah.
And the salute and the pointing at you, you know. God, man, have some edge.
Yeah. When you think of the overall, you know, aura that is Cena, that's just another, like, oh, here we go. Cena's making another, you know, cripple happy, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I bet you he just, you know, helped someone that got into a traffic incident, and, you know.
Look, he helped some kid with leukemia again.
Yeah, God, we get
it, Cena.
Do something. You know, it would be awesome. Here's where I think I would turn the page on John Cena and maybe.
Like Bob Seger.
Yes. Good reference.
Or Metallica. I like Metallica one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But here's where I would maybe warm up to the John Cena character. Leak a photo of him just doing a beer bong.
Yeah.
God, you know, something
or hitting
normal.
A bong.
Well, yeah, that might get him in some hot water because it's illegal.
Meh.
Yeah. But, you know,
it was
do a keg stand. You know, be drunk.
Yeah.
Or not even drunk. You know,
well, we heard
get a speeding ticket for going 110.
We've heard he's a drinker. Ric Flair said it kind of got him into hot water. Yeah. And, I mean, all the guys will say he's one of the cooler guys.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
His character sucks.
But the Make-A-Wish Foundation and what they do
is
like, you know, I can be a softie when I see things and I'm like, oh, man, the tribute to the troops generally gets to me because of my past and I know guys, you know, that have been over there and stuff. And then this. Just, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to say anything bad about granting these kids their only wish
it's
is
amazing.
To come see you.
It's just I wish... Now, I just wish the John Cena character would
maybe
have some
edge.
Maybe
it wasn't 300 for Cena. Maybe it was 200 for Cena, and he stopped doing that now and was playing a better character that maybe they didn't wish to see.
Right.
Maybe, I think what your wish is, he would have changed so that the kids weren't wishing to see him anymore.
Right. Yeah, they picked
they were
Punk
wishing to see
or Daniel
Miz
Bryan.
Or Punk
or,
right,
yeah,
exactly. You know. But, hey, such is life.
But anyhow, congratulations. That is a great thing to do.
That is, yes. Congratulations. Like wife, like husband.
That isn't what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Triple H has reportedly sold 703 shares of Class A common WWE stock, according to an SEC filing released on Tuesday, at a price of $11.53 per share. It translates to an amount of $8,105.
There's something up with this.
And following the transaction, Triple H still owns 50,764 shares of common A stock. So he sold 703 shares for $8,000?
What is going on?
Yeah.
Something's up.
And so if they're like, well, they're building the house, what's he going to do with $8,000? What, do you have to pay one contractor
right.
or something?
It's something.
And you don't
up.
Have that money already in some kind of account somewhere? This doesn't seem right.
I don't know.
But what do I know?
Well, one thing, I don't really know the stock market that well.
Yeah.
I'm not very
Maybe
smart.
Maybe this happens quite frequently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just...
But it's showing up in the news. People are kind of being like, eh.
Something's up.
They got asked by the New York Post, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and they
house.
Told him, yeah.
Whatever. Maybe they're selling, because here's the thing that I don't know, and I don't think I've seen it in the news being reported, who they're selling to.
Here's what's happening. They're selling to random people who are in turn going to sell to Shane McMahon, who's going to come back and take over.
Now, that would be amazing.
Shane O'Mac. Here comes the money.
Literally.
Money, 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 money. Yeah.
My thought is maybe they're selling to friends who need money.
Mm.
No,
well,
that
but then they would be buying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They would. I don't know.
Especially at a time like now.
Or maybe they know the stocks will go up because of WrestleMania. So sell it now to friend. They profit off of, I don't know. It just, like I said, I don't know too much about the stock market. But what they're doing is not building
a house.
Maybe
they know it's going to drop soon.
Maybe.
That's what I'm worried about. They know it's going to plummet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
We'll find out maybe someday. Bound for the hospital.
Yeah, who went to the hospital?
Four TNA talents suffered injuries at Bound for Glory.
Going all out. It's their WrestleMania.
Bully Ray sustained a bruised sternum.
You know why?
Mm-hmm.
It took off half the ring.
Yeah. And we'll get into that. AJ Styles sustained rib cartilage damage and will be evaluated by his home doctor in Georgia later this week.
Throw yourself into a table from the top rope. That's what happens.
Bobby Roode, cervical swelling from his vertebrae and back. Not from Sonny. Right. triceps and hematoma. Or triceps hematoma.
Oof.
So that's what? Internal bleeding in
his
arm?
Yeah. That's not good.
Kurt Angle left the arena with his family but refused to be evaluated on site by medical personnel as they were requesting.
So that was legit.
Maybe it was.
Poor guy.
This is just a lot of injuries there, and that's big names for him, too. That's
yeah, the four,
four
biggest.
Stars.
Yeah.
I don't know. TNA, lots of troubles lately. Bound for a WWE house show?
Yeah.
Several images from last night's, well, this is, we're recording this Tuesday night, but from Sunday night's TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view, which took place at the Viejas Arena in San Diego, California, have been posted online. These photos back up the reports from the show, which stated that the crowd was mainly moved to opposite the hard camera and that the show was carefully shot to not show the low attendance, which was reportedly around 4,000 fans in the building. That's WWE house show numbers.
How do you get 4,000 people when you have Sting, Kurt Angle, Bully Ray?
Well, because Sting's not a draw.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not, clearly.
Well, is it lack of promotion? I mean, one thing is they are a Southern company. They do not even need to be West Coast.
Right, yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
But number two, for your WrestleMania, you should at least get 6,000.
I kind of wonder, too, what were they asking?
Yeah.
Were the tickets kind of ridiculous for a TNA pay-per-view, maybe?
Yeah.
And it is their big, it's what they're trying to make WrestleMania, but boy, you're not helping make that case.
No, stay south.
First of all, you're doing it at a 6,000-seat arena to begin with, so it's not like it's going to be over the top to
crazy.
Begin with.
Yeah.
But you damn near only got half.
And probably not even all sold.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, there's probably some corporate things going on, too. Ugh.
Not good.
All right, slow news week. Here's our final story of the week. You ready for this one?
Yes, I am so ready for this.
NWA, New Wrestling Alliance.
Okay, what now?
NWA.
Yes, I know NWA.
New Wrestling Alliance.
Okay, let me hear it.
October 21st, 2013, David Marquez of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood announced that he and 8 established pro wrestling promotions have come together to form United Wrestling Network. The existing local companies that will make up United are West Coast Wrestling Connection from Oregon, Ultra Championship Wrestling from Utah, Future Stars of Wrestling from Nevada, Championship Wrestling from Arizona, Traditional Championship Wrestling from Arkansas, Metro Pro Wrestling from Kansas, River City Wrestling from Texas, New York Wrestling Connection from New York, and New England Championship Wrestling out of Massachusetts.
Metro Pro, that's our stomping ground.
Right here in town.
What was that one? Traditional what?
Traditional Championship Wrestling out of Arkansas.
Yeah, no wonder they never drew a dollar.
This collection of promoters, this is a quote from Marquez, this collection of promoters is excited to build a new sanctioning body for pro wrestling. Our goal is to work within our local areas to create new talent, recognize a common united champion, and plus our broadcasts. Although the idea of a sanctioning body isn't new, United is being executed with fresh eyes, especially for the digital age. I know this is going to take some time to launch and educate the public, but I'm positive the outcome will achieve our goals, states Marquez. The criteria for participating are simple. There is no membership, franchise, or affiliate fees. All sanctioned promotions must have a television broadcast or agree to terms to produce a broadcast to participate. UCW, CWFH, FSW, NECW, Metro, and TCW all have existing broadcasts. So they will be included in the launch before the end of the year, and the rest will launch in 2014 as we help them secure a television outlet in their area, continued Marquez. First of all, I thought Metro Pro didn't. Maybe they're coming back on after football.
Well,
maybe,
Chris Goff, who owns Metro Pro, is the program director of Metro Sports, which is the channel that they
air
on.
So he can just say, yeah, we'll have one.
So he can probably find a spot. I mean, you know, it's a 24-hour channel, so find a spot somewhere.
I like this idea.
I do, too. I think it's great.
It's a new age NWA.
Yes.
And, you know what I mean? Maybe this will help them compete. And, I mean, look, we're talking TNA's having 3,000 numbers. I mean, if these guys can build up and have existing trading companies around, okay.
Yep.
And how that worked before is, man, I've got this great heel, but we just used them up, so we're going to bring another heel. What's he going to do? we'll send him over to you guys. Because right. you guys are lacking a heel yeah. right now.
And he can learn something from your guy and yep. vice versa.
And that helps build your established faces in town mm-hmm. because you're running through good heels constantly. Yep. You're not recycling the same old guys right. over and over again. So we need to try to get a hold of Chris Goff
get
him
we will.
For an interview and see if we can get some jobs.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Or I'd work for free
for
a little bit.
Anything you're good at, don't do it for free.
Yeah, that's true.
But...
Well, I'm not good at anything.
Well, so that's why we do this show for free.
There you go.
But yeah, we'll get him on. I'll give him a call. Oh wow, that made me sound so stupid. I don't mean to sound that pompous. Oh, I'll just give him a call. We'll have him on next
I'll
week.
I'll have my people
right.
call his people.
But I do know Chris Goff fairly well, so I will give him a call, and we'll get him on ASAP, hopefully next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, talk about this. I mean,
definitely.
This could be a big deal.
Yes. Could be a great deal.
Could be a good deal.
You know, you're speaking about TNA, and this is off topic of really
sure.
the headlines,
yeah.
but, you know, you think of, and I know their goal is to be the number two company. Let's face it. They're
yeah,
not going to be
number two, all right.
But they're not going to be number one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
No
yeah,
one's
yeah,
ever going to beat WWE.
Yeah.
Just
it would
like
take
in,
WWE screwing up.
Yeah, just like in football, no one's ever going to beat NFL.
Or it would take another Ted Turner with big pockets and a smart mind that can utilize those effectively.
And those are both kind of hard to find now. But what I'm thinking is you know, maybe they get this together, and with TNA, like you said, falling really off, you know, here's their shot. They're all on TV. Move them to number two. Ring of Honor still doing their pay-per-views.
See, and that's the thing. If this United, what they call it, United Wrestling Network,
uh-huh.
If that does well enough, who's to say some of these places like ROH and TNA can't get involved in?
Yes. Yeah. Be perfect.
I mean, if it's going to amount to only helping you.
Yep.
Yeah. United. What is it called here? United Wrestling Network.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So good luck for them. And it'd be really cool to have, you know, one of the founding guys from our stomping grounds here in Kansas City.
Yeah. We got to be the. I'll do play by play. You do commentary.
I just want to run the back.
You just want to run the back?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do.
Get on play-by-play then.
Yeah, yeah, Joey Styles it and do it all by yourself.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
Come on.
I don't know about all that.
I'll run the back.
I'd do either. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I'd pretty much do anything just to hang around and see how a wrestling promotion really works. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be fun.
It would be.
But we're going to come back. We're going to talk about TNA.
The 14th best show on TV.
Yeah, 4,000 people like them.
Maybe.
Yeah, nearly.
It was a good show, though.
It was a good show. Yeah, we'll get into it. We're going to kick off. We're going to start with Impact, and then we'll head into Bound for Glory. But that's all when we come back after a quick break on the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network. TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. You say you need a good reason to check out the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com? Well, I've got five. Number one, Fight Show Live. Masters in the business of beatdown, Ozone and T-Mac bring you all things MMA. Number two, Trending Mobile Technology. Piper the DJ takes a bite out of the mobile space every week as he gives you Android, iOS, Microsoft, and BlackBerry. Number three, The Real News. MJR shares politics and current events the only way he knows how, unbiased and honestly. Number four, The Spanish Announce Table. Captain Awesome and T-Mac are slamming your face through a table full of wrestling knowledge every week as they break down WWE and TNA. Number five, Old School at the Movies. Mr. Old School and his panel of critics are your one-stop shop for all your movie needs as they give you box office hits, DVD releases, even Netflix, and the bargain bin. TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Better check in every day, because you never know what's going to be trending next.
Somebody gonna get their ass kicked if I don't get a dollar.
Somebody better get Mark Henry healthy soon so we can get Great Khali off the damn screen.
You know what? They're just gonna bring him in to get swung around by Cesaro. So,
who, Henry?
Yeah.
Man,
I don't know if he could do that.
Oh, I think he definitely could, but I don't think Henry will let him. Hey, man, I've been in this company since 98, and you're just going to grab me?
You want me to do what?
Right, yeah. Somebody going to get their ass kicked.
Boy, you want me to do what?
That would be a great storyline with the world's strongest man, and then you could build up, because Monday night on Raw.
I'm saying he's.
Yeah, the strongest man in the WWE. Mm. That'd be a cool storyline. WWE, why won't you sign us and at least pitch you ideas?
I know you're listening.
God damn.
I know you're listening.
Of course.
Oh, TNA.
TNA Wrestling.
Had a big go-home show. Emanating, like, we want to go home.
Yeah, we want to go home, please.
It starts off, Dixie Carter, she comes out with Atlas Security, and they wear that, like, turtleneck that says Atlas on it, so they look like, you know, security preachers. I don't know.
Right.
Well, they were carrying a briefcase. She spends some time dissing AJ Styles a bunch and then opens the case, reveals it's full of money. She announces there's a $50,000 bounty on AJ Styles and anyone can claim it if they make sure AJ doesn't make it to Bound for Glory. She also said that same person could then have the title shot at BFG.
Come on
Sounds
now.
Sounds like a sweet deal, right?
I'd do it.
Bully Ray comes out and he's made it clear he's not exactly on Team Dixie, but he likes this offer. He doesn't care who he faces at Bound for Glory. This is when Magnus interrupts and he's mad. He's angry. This is ruining everything the 12 competitors in the Bound for Glory series went through by trying to bribe someone to take AJ's place. Well, Magnus says he doesn't need a bribe. He'd fight Bully tonight for free.
I don't think he would really do that.
Well, right. Yeah, there you go. But yeah.
You got to get paid. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, Bully calls Magnus a fraud and a loser and says he's been a disappointment. And in one of my lines of the night, he says, "You're such a disappointment." And Magnus is looking away and he like pulls his chin up, makes him look at him. He's like, "You might as well be from Oklahoma."
Which is a great line.
Heat.
Yeah.
Just heat.
Well, Magnus, somewhat true.
Well, yeah. Oh, man. I spent a couple of years there.
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
Very nice people.
Yeah.
Great personalities.
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of cousins. You know,
she's got a great personality. A
lot of cousins.
Yeah. Uncle daddies. Well, Magnus drops him with a punch, and Bully rolls out of the ring and says the match is on. Funny story. Guy and I were working together in a restaurant, and there's this redneck, like, just... Hillbilly
first name Red,
there.
Last name Nick.
Yeah, just total hillbilly guy, and we were calling him Uncle Daddy. And so that guy went on to become a radio DJ for the local college radio station, and he used his name Uncle Daddy. And, I mean, he carried that forever. Everybody would be like, "It's Uncle Daddy!" And he'd be like, "What up?" Yeah.
No, that was an insult. That was an insult, sir.
Uncle Daddy, yeah. That's anyway, good. So we move on. We get a match between Christopher Daniels, Hernandez, Robbie E., and Eric Young. Four-way, you know, all in the ring same time. The winner of this match is going to earn their tag team the final spot in the tag team gauntlet match for the countdown to Bound for Glory, their pre-show. This match was action-packed, had people fighting all over the place. It ends with Eric Young hits Daniels with a top rope elbow drop, but Robbie E. snuck in and tossed EY to the outside and stole the pin for himself, giving Bromans that final spot in the gauntlet. Yeah?
And we'll get into that later.
It was a fun match, and I was surprised they gave Robbie E. the highlight.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised Hernandez, what is Hernandez doing? You know what I mean? Like, he just floats around.
That's something everybody asks him every time I walk around. Like, "Hernandez, what are you doing?"
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of floats around. He's in the tag title picture.
He could be a bigger star.
Yeah.
They're missing out. And who knows? I mean, I guess we don't know. You know, we don't know, you know, that if they paid their dues technically, or maybe they aren't pulling off things that we don't see. But, right. Like, you got to think.
He's been with
Hernandez,
the company forever.
Storm.
Yeah.
These guys that they should be pushing. Samoa Joe's hanging around.
Yeah.
Doing nothing.
Why?
And is a crowd favorite everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he's amazing. He should be their top guy.
You know, I understood for a while he was, and they're like, "Okay, we got to get new stars." You know, right. It's time to reshuffle that deck again before it's too late. Anyway, we get AJ Styles talking backstage when Jesse Goddard attacks him. And AJ gets the best of him. Obviously, Jesse's trying to collect on the bounty. Yeah. AJ says it's going to be a long night. Well, then he heads to the ring. And he says he's not running from anyone. Invites anyone to come out and try to collect their money. This brings out Nux and Bish. They attack AJ, but James Storm and Gunner come out to stop the fight. Which is a weird combo, right?
Yeah, again, why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's going to be a match between Nux and Gunner. Which is what we all came for.
Of course.
Right. Back and forth until Nux calls for backup, only to turn around to get speared by Gunner. Pinfall. Gunner wins.
Gunner is forgettable.
Gunner is very forgettable, which is strange. I mean, like, I get, you know, he's got no personality is a problem. He's got a look.
Yeah, he's got a look, but he's got the personality of
He's got
watching
the,
drying paint.
He's got the I'm mad stare.
Yeah, oh, we're all mad. We get it, man. 1980s called. We're done with that I'm mad about everything.
You just make your eyes really big.
Yeah. Even Ryback evolved into something more.
Yeah. Ryback.
Yeah.
So after commercial, we saw Nux and Garrett in the back and Bish, excuse me. They're in the back complaining about Bully Ray's no-show to help them. Then Nux insinuates that next time Bully needs help, there won't be any.
Get to the next part.
Then we get Brooke Tessmacher in the back.
There you go.
Oh,
there
you go. She's taking pictures of herself. Yes. I got a few of them. She sent them.
Yeah.
They were nice.
Thanks.
And then Gail Kim comes in and says they should stick together and watch each other's backs because of Lady Tapa. You know, she's coming out. She's beating us all up. We need to watch. Brooks just kind of laughs at her and says, she only listens to one person. It's not Gail.
It's my ass.
It's my ass.
Have you seen that, guys?
I only listen to one person, and it's Billy Gunn, because he's an ass man.
Yeah, and have you seen my ass?
Funny story.
Have you seen her ass?
I've seen it.
Oh, my Lord.
I've seen it. No, I was listening to the Colt Cabana Art of Wrestling podcast, and he's interviewing Dolph Ziggler. It was from a while back.
All right.
And, or no, I think he's interviewing somebody else. But he talks about seeing Dolph Ziggler at the gym and working out. And maybe this even was on the Dolph. I don't know. But he says, Dolph showed me his iPod playlist that he's running with, working at the gym. He's got 4 songs on it, and that's it. And he just knows how many times it cycles through, and he's done. One of those 4 songs is Billy Gunn's Ass Man. There's another thing I wish I would have known.
Right, yeah, when we interviewed him.
Man. Ass Man.
That's great. Yeah. Good for him.
So, speaking of ass, Velvet Sky and Chris Sabin are in the back.
Another good one.
And Velvet is trying to convince Chris to not go looking to collect the AJ Styles bounty. She's saying, this isn't you. And he's, hey, just chill out. I'm gonna go take care of some business, you know, that kind of stuff. Sabin ignores her. He goes looking for AJ, but he finds Samoa Joe instead. And I should have got this audio, but Joe pulled off a nice set here. And he tells Sabin that you don't need to be worried about AJ because tonight they've got a match. And he can look for AJ if and only if he gets past him. But he reminds him, and I'm a pretty big if. Yeah. It was pretty. Yeah, and Chris Sabin's kind of like,
oh, crap.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Good. It was a good, if you have a chance to go back and check that one out. Yeah, it was a good one. Joe, another reason. Again, Joe.
Be great. You know, one part of Joe's character that I really liked, unfortunately, it was feuding with the main event Mafia, so it kind of got watered down. But when he was doing his Nation of Violence, and he was like the leader of the Samoan Nation, and he did the whole Usos smacking themselves. I don't know what that is, and I'm not trying to be offensive. I just don't know what it's called.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's probably something. Traditional dance I do, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, you know?
Yeah.
That was cool, and he had his face kind of painted like how the Usos do now.
Yeah,
he was, I was like, Jesus. Yeah. He was scary.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he was feuding with Scott Steiner, but, you know, whatever.
Scott Steiner. I know that guy.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He says,
See, I would have stopped it tonight, but I was in the bathroom taking a dump.
Yeah.
That's that guy.
That's that guy.
That's maybe why his feud didn't go to the top.
Yeah, I was looking for the, I'm going to beat Samoa Joe worse than I've ever been before, but I guess I don't have that on here at the moment. It's just a great line.
Yes.
I'm going to beat Samoa Joe worse than I've ever been before.
Scott, that makes no sense.
Anyway, we got Chris Sabin versus Samoa Joe. Good match. Saw a lot of back and forth with Sabin trying to use Velvet to his advantage like he's been doing, right? But Samoa Joe eventually gets the submission with a rear naked choke. So that's your winner there. Austin Aries runs out, however, and hits a missile drop kick to Joe. Then he taunts Joe, but Jeff Hardy runs out and drops Aries with a twist of fate before heading outside. He then grabs a ladder and brings it into the ring and stomps Aries, climbs it, but Sabin comes up, pulls him down, and then Manic runs out, splashes them from the top of the ladder. This is obviously to hype the upcoming Ultimate X match, Bound for Glory.
Yep.
Which should be good. I mean, I know what happened, but, you know.
It was good.
Right. Then we get Magnus versus Bully Ray. A lot of good strong brawling in this match. Eventually what happens is Bully Ray wraps his chain around his fist, preparing to hit Magnus. Sting runs out to try to stop it, but the ref stops him and doesn't see the chain, so Bully low blows Magnus behind his back and wins with a roll-up.
Sting.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, Sting, just go away.
Yeah, so Sting tries to reason with Magnus, who's obviously upset, but Magnus doesn't want to listen. Sting asks for a handshake, but Magnus pushes his hand away and leaves. Sting tries to catch up with Magnus, wants to know what's going on. What's going on?
Magnus, here's what's going on. I'm going to fight you.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be freaking friends.
And you just lost me the match.
Right,
you
know what I mean? That on top of it.
Well, anyway, so Magnus says he got screwed over again, and he's tired of it. All he wants to do is prove to everyone that he can do it on his own. Samoa Joe walks over, tells Singh, let him go, man. He'll calm down. Singh says they will fight on Sunday, and Magnus will be on his own like he wants.
Great! That's exactly what it should be.
Thanks, Sting.
God.
I figured out what the people want.
Man.
Kurt Angle comes out, says Rude made it personal, Bobby Rude, and that Rude is good, but not on his level. And this one, Bobby Rude comes out, and they trade insults and such back and forth. I kind of like, he was like, well, I'm glad I'm not on your level, because I don't want to be Kurt Angle. I want to be Bobby Rude, which I thought was good. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Rude goes back after him, Rude sucker punched Angle. And then he taunts the crowd and he goes after him, but Kurt sweeps his leg, goes for an ankle lock. This is when Bad Influence runs out and attacks Kurt from behind. Rude gets up, tells him he has this, then he puts Kurt in the crossface and makes him tap until he lets go. And then he says he's going to do the same Sunday and make you tap. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Ooh.
Yep.
You seem so excited about this.
You know.
Anyway, so we get Dixie Carter. She makes her way out to the ring with security. Then
here we
Brash.
Go. This is when we're getting into something good.
Yeah. Well, they introduce Bully Ray and AJ Styles to begin a contract signing ceremony. These always go
smooth.
Smooth. Uh-huh. Yeah. Bully signs right away. And he even says, that. He says, did you notice I didn't hesitate to sign that contract? And he tells him the story of how back in days past, Ric Flair put Dusty Rhodes and the wrestling world on Hard Times, which is a classic wrestling promo, if you haven't seen it.
Yes.
Dusty Rhodes promo.
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes put it on Hard Times. So Bully says for the past year and a half, he has put the wrestling world on hard times. Yeah? AJ tells Bully that he is no Ric Flair and that he's no Dusty Rhodes. Those guys are in the past, but they are living in the future, kid, which, no, you're not.
Yeah, you're living in the present.
Slow down. Yeah. So, he then tells everyone who Bully really is, and that is a big, dumb bitch. Which you don't generally get that from AJ Styles.
Right.
AJ says he has nothing to lose and everything to gain, and he will take everything dear to Dixie and Bully. Says he will make them all pay when he wins the world championship. Yeah? Then he signs the contract. JB hands it to Dixie, and Bully tells him to stop. He says, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm not going to put the title on the line. Because I'm just going to take the bounty myself. And then he throws the podiums into AJ, like the podium into AJ, cracking his ribs. Swings at him with his chain, but AJ grabs the, misses it, you know, ducks it, grabs the briefcase and knocks him upside the head.
Upside that head.
Upside that big old faux-hawked head. Then AJ takes that opportunity to open up the case, dumps the money, like throws it all on Dixie and security and throws it all over the mat. And then they scream at each other, you know, him bullying. Show goes off the air.
Yeah, don't keep the money. That'd be stupid, especially with TNA's financial situation as it is.
Yeah.
And your contract.
That was their last $50,000.
Yeah, way to go.
Well, we'll take a break here because we're going to come back and we're going to tell you exactly what happened after that go-home show for TNA's Bound for Glory, biggest pay-per-view of the year. Excited?
Yeah.
Be excited if this guy showed up at it.
It'd be amazing if that guy showed up.
Yeah, it'd be front page news. this guy showed up.
But news everywhere.
Anyway, when we come back, we'll tell you what happened at Bound for Glory for all the 3,200 people to see.
And like I said, it was a good show, though. Very good show.
It was, and we'll get into it. Spanish Announce Table, Trending Topics Network.
Mixed Martial Arts has found a home in Kansas City. Fight Show Live with Ozone and Tina. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 as they cover the cage with news, commentary, calls, and big-name interviews.
Oh, my God!
Heel to the jaw.
How good was that?
Experts in the business of beatdown.
He paused with the left and bang! Right on the jaw.
Fight Show Live with Ozone and Tina. Sunday nights at 8 on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
My hair slicked back, I'm coming to your town. And my pink Cadillac, I'm just a honky-tonk man.
He's a honky-tonk man.
I'm just a honky-tonk man.
He's a honky-tonk man.
I'm just a honky-tonk man.
Oh, the honky-tonk man.
He didn't have me mic'd, but I was singing the female part. And I don't care. What are you going to do about it?
I'm not going to do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You make a good woman.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I was listening to the Art of Wrestling, Colt Cabana's podcast. It was an old back episode. It had Honky Tonk Man on there. It was pretty fun. It was a good interview. Check that one out. But we are going to talk about something way more exciting than that.
Yeah.
TNA.
TNA.
Bound for Glory, though. They're big, big, big. They're big.
WrestleMania.
They're WrestleMania. Right. So, hailing from San Diego, California, in the VA Haas Arena, their first show in San Diego.
Which showed.
Should be their last.
Yeah.
The countdown to Bound for Glory features a tag team gauntlet. Bad Influence versus Chavo and Hernandez versus EY and Joseph Park and versus Bromance. The winner of this will face the tag team champions Gunner and Storm later on in the actual Bound for Glory. Match starts off with Bad Influence versus Chavo and Hernandez. The crowd is into this. There's even an early TNA chant. Chavo hits his Three Amigos, which is a triple suplex.
Eddie Guerrero. One, two,
right,
three.
Yep. To Daniels. And then he goes up to the top rope where Kaz pushes him off, allowing Daniels to get a roll-up with a handful of tights for the pinfall, eliminating Chavo and Hernandez.
And here is the first mistake of the night. You're in San Diego, a huge Hispanic.
Yes. Well, Daniels and Kaz are from there. They're actually getting a little bit of a homegrown pop. But
you don't eliminate the Mexicans in San Diego.
First. Yeah.
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 You eliminate true. Eric Young and Joseph Park. Yeah, who cares about those two?
Well, speaking of, they're out next. Yeah, and they battle around for a while. Christopher Daniels goes up to hit his best moonsault ever, but he misses. Landed on his feet, though. Because EY rolled out of the way. Eric Young whips him into Joseph Park, who hits his fallaway slam for the pinfall.
And your second mistake.
Bad Influence. Eliminate. Yeah. Having them win anything.
Well,
big mistake.
Well, two reasons. One, yes, that is very true. And two, Daniels and Kazarian are probably the best wrestlers in this whole bunch.
Yeah.
And now we've got to go through the second half of this match without our two strongest players.
Well,
good job, TNA.
Bad Influence is not happy, about what happened, so they proceed to beat down Young and Park. Kaz hits EY with his fade to black, and EY shows what he learned at the Vince McMahon School of Acting by shaking like an epileptic. I love when they do that. They toss Joseph Park shoulder first into the steel structure set up for the Ultimate X match. The final tag team, Bromans, are out next, accompanied by Mr. Olympia Phil Heath, who's jacked, obviously.
Yeah.
Two referees are helping Joseph Park to the back at this point because he can't continue. So now Eric Young by himself has to take on Bromans and puts up a good fight, but numbers get to him. Jesse holds him up for a clothesline. Robbie E gets the pin. It's kind of almost like who does that where he grabs him, kind of belly to belly, but he holds him up and then Robbie E comes over the top with a clothesline.
Oh, the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim Neidhart and Bret Hart used to do that.
Yes,
yeah.
It's very much that same. They didn't give it a name, but it's that exact finisher. So, your winners, new number one contenders for the TNA World Tag Team Champions, Bromans.
Now, I like that.
Yeah.
Because you're building a new tag team.
Yes.
The only thing I would have switched is you first have Eric Young, Joseph Park eliminated. Then you have it's Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. Let's just call them Super Mexes because that's what they are.
Yeah.
Then you have Super Mexes eliminate Bad Influence. Bad Influence attacks Super Mexes, and then Bromance gets it. To where then you have the real people. Don't have Eric Young and Joseph Park so much in there. They're Santino Marella.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in this, you have some real heavy hitters. And you're in San Diego, where Mexicans are the big population.
Plentiful.
Yeah, big population down there.
Well, then we move on to Bound for Glory, the actual Bound for Glory.
I bet you a couple Mexican guys probably left when Hernandez and Chavo got eliminated.
It's fucked up, Holmes.
Yeah.
We start off with the Ultimate X for the TNA X Division Championship. Manic versus Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries versus Samoa Joe versus Chris Sabin.
Yeah, because if you were on the fence about whether to buy this pay-per-view and you wanted to see if the Ultimate X was good, they just started off with it.
Yeah.
Don't start with a good match that, is just serviceable as a first match. No, go with the home run first.
You know who probably wasn't watching?
Who?
Kenny King.
Yeah, poor guy.
Kind of a short match as far as Ultimate X matches are concerned, but it was fast-paced and action-packed, as you'd damn near demand out of an Ultimate X match. Jeff Hardy, though, introduces a ladder, and then the contestants pretty much start trying to treat it like it's a ladder match. They keep going up the ladder. This kind of made me wonder if there was something wrong with the structure, that maybe they had to call this audible, you know, or if it was just, hey, it's Jeff Hardy, we got to do a ladder.
Or, hey, it's Jeff Hardy, I've been banged up and beat up so much, I don't think I can, you know, move myself from one side to get to the
other.
Well,
that'd be fine if you were actually worried about Jeff Hardy having to pull down the...
Well, but, you know, he's the baby face. Yeah,
well, Chris Sabin eventually shoves Velvet Sky into the ring. Right?
Mm.
And this distracts the other four competitors long enough for, well, I think there's only one in it there at the time, but distracts him long enough for him to just run up the ladder, pull down the title. Chris Sabin, new TNA Activision Champion.
Hey, he's a good heel, and that's a good title for him to have. I think we both agree that the heavyweight world championship was a little bit too much for him, so this is good.
Well, and Velvet looks a little disgusted as continuing their storyline where she's like, "What are you? Why are you being this way? Why are you doing this?
Right.
Why are you doing this?
Why are you doing this to me?"
Bad Influence comes out after this, and they say they were screwed in the pre-show, and they should be wrestling for the tag team titles. This is when Eric Young comes out and tells them they created a monster earlier, and they should run. They cheap shot Eric Young. They start to beat him up when Abyss appears. Now, that got a good pop. Abyss hands out two black hole slams to Kaz and Daniels, and Young and Abyss celebrate in the ring.
And maybe that was the whole reason for the pre-show of the thing, but Abyss.
What a way to bring Abyss. I mean, like, and then he just, yay. Like, no, you need to bring Abyss back in a dark, devious, evil manner.
Yeah, do some promos where he's monster. Where he's in the boiler room, you know, talking about how demented he is. Right? Nope, let's just bring him back to do some black hole slams. Bye-bye.
Only 3,000 people will see it. TNA World Tag Team Championship match, Bromans versus Gunner and the Cowboy, James Storm. Beer bottle in hand. Match went over really well. Actually, earned some more TNA chance. It looked like both teams really gave a lot in this match. This was a good knockdown, drag out. James Storm has Jesse down and starts calling for a super kick. You know, like, Storm is like, you can do a super kick. Robbie E is outside, tosses one of the title belts into the ring. This causes a little bit of a distraction. The ref goes to remove it, and Robbie E comes in to help double team Storm. They hit that same double team, that Hart Foundation clothesline, gets the pin. Robbie E looks shocked that they did so. But your new TNA World Tag Team Champions, Bromance.
And good, because like we were saying, Gunner's forgettable. James Storm is better than this.
Yeah.
So get the tag titles off of them and probably have them feud with each other to hopefully get Gunner over a little bit, maybe. And then move on. And now we have a good tag team with some belts that you can do some storylines with.
They look like a tag team. Yeah. I think they're WWE ready. They need to be over there. But James Storm at the end of this, I'm surprised he wasn't in the news as one of the guys, was he? Right leg is bruised and it's bleeding. It almost looks like it's a big bruise that finally got a cut and it's like leaking out the blood. I mean, it looked bad. I hope he's okay because it looked wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he needed attention. They show us a clip of the TNA Hall of Fame induction ceremony for Kurt Angle. You know, Kurt Angle actually declined the induction in this thing. He said that he let everyone down and not lived up to his full potential and needed to prove himself before accepting such an honor. But they didn't really. So is he officially not in the TNA Hall of Fame, or did he just not like?
No, you know what I mean? I think he is, but I think he's just trying to say like, I'm not done.
I don't
done.
Believe it. Yeah, I'm not accepting it because I haven't earned it. Well, we get Dixie Carter in the back, and she's on the phone.
Everyone's on the phone.
Ring, ding, ding. Ethan Carter III comes in, and she tells him that she has handpicked his opponent for the evening. So we're gonna get an EC3 match.
Yeah. We do.
Well, but first, we get the triple threat for the TNA Knockouts Championship. Oh, Dizzle Bizzle versus Gail Kim versus Brooke.
And that ass.
That should be, she should be a tag team. It's Brooke and her ass.
I'd watch it.
I'd do it again.
Shut up.
This was a good match dominated mostly by ODB and Brooke. ODB was on her way to victory when the referee got knocked out. And who makes an appearance but Lady Tappa. Mm. We actually got a tweet to us by GBL. He asked, is Lady Tappa, is that a reference because she's a lesbian? Like she taps ladies? Lady
Maybe.
Tappa.
Yeah.
She's a Lady Tappa.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could be. It looks over. ODB ran up the ramp to fight Tappa, but she was met with a big boot. And then she powerbombs Brooke like a ragdoll. Like from outside on their ramp, you know, their ramp is level with the ring. Picks her up and powerbombs her over the top rope into the ring.
It was really cool.
Yeah. And then Gail Kim takes advantage of this situation and pins Brooke just as the referee's coming to. winner, new TNA Knockouts champion, Gail Kim. Now, Lady Tepa comes in. She takes the belt. She's holding it high, and she roughly picks up Gail Kim by the arm, staring her down, looking at her, and Gail Kim looks scared, and then they laugh, and Lady hands Gail the belt, and then they celebrate together. She even, like, hoists her up on her shoulders, so clearly she's the new bodyguard lackey for Gail Kim.
Can I make a point here?
Yeah.
It's actually going to be... No, you know what? I'm holding on to it. It's going to be my final thought.
Oh.
I'll tease you with that. This is my final thought.
Final thoughts about Lady Tapas.
Well, no, but think of storylines,
yeah,
and then you'll understand.
Yeah, no, I think I know where you're going with this. Yeah. I think. We'll see. We'll find out, yes, in your final thoughts.
Yes.
We go backstage with the newest member of the TNA broadcast team, Gil Corsi, which we saw him earlier in the pre-show. I don't know if you caught this guy on the show. Looks pretty good. Looks like he's going to be a good member of the broadcast team. Looks like he knows what he's doing. Well, he catches up with Bromans and Mr. Olympia. They're celebrating. They're wearing sunglasses backstage, partying. Jesse tells him, gentlemen, protein shakes. And they grab the protein shakes and they start shaking them like they're bottles of champagne, like pouring them all over themselves, all over the new Gil, yeah, Corsi, and he's slipping and falling all over the place. Yeah, that was a funny segment.
Yeah, they can go places with this tag team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good.
This is the
good
protein
stuff.
Shakes. Yeah. He's like, gentlemen, protein shakes. And yeah. I mean, like, just like the old, you know, Hogan and Andre when they're spraying,
yeah,
it's like they're shaking, right, it all over. It is just great. Like, perfect. But I think this new broadcaster has some potential. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. Well, we get a Bobby Roode promo. He says he should be in the Hall of Fame, and he's going to make Angle tap tonight. More of the same, you know, just out there flexing. We get that match. Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode. Angle jacked to the gills.
Yeah, you know, I had some time to lift some weights.
Yeah, yeah. 12-ounce arm curls. Well, the match started off with a lot of mat-based.
He was in rehab. He didn't yeah. hopefully have any.
Well, match started off with a lot of mat-based technical wrestling, then moved to a more aggressive style. And Roode must have been suplexed 50 times in this match, mm-hmm. as, you know, you would think. But they had a great spot where they kept countering back and forth between the ankle lock and the crossface.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great set of moves. Kurt Angle eventually hits the ankle slam from the top rope, and both men are laid out flat. The ref begins his 10 count because guys are laying down, you know. Bobby Roode manages to get up to 9, but before they can go to the final 10 to kind of count out Angle, Bobby Roode falls back down on Angle, and that's pinfall. Your winner, Bobby Roode.
I like the, you know, we fought to the bitter end,
yeah.
and I barely won because I just threw
yes,
my
I like
hand.
That, yes.
The only thing I don't like, and WWE's guilty of this too, is I hit my finisher, but you got up before I did. Mm. But I hit my finisher.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, after the match, Angle is still laying still and not moving.
Uh-oh.
Trainers rush out, and Angle's sitting there motionless. They can't get him to, you know, do anything. They try to put a neck brace around him, and they get him up on a stretcher. They get him out to the ringside. They're going to cart him off, but he gets up, refusing the medical treatment, and walks off under his own power. But it looks like he's not really moving his neck. Hard to tell if this was...
I think this was real.
I think there was some reality to this.
I think it was... Here's what I think. I think match in, match out, Kurt Angle feels this way every
yeah,
single time.
Right.
And now it's finally... Hey, man, let's just give it some light. I'm going to be how I am and not put on the front of defeat or victory, you know, either way.
Yeah.
And we're going to do something real with this. I think this will turn into a storyline, but I think this has basis in fact.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked bad, like the yeah. way he was moving.
Yeah, yeah, because it probably was.
Mm, I don't know. Well, we get Ethan Carter III versus the mystery opponent, and it's Norv Furnum.
And he was excited to be there, wasn't he? Man. He was running around. He loved life.
This kid is a puny little man. He couldn't have weighed more than $125.
No.
Tops. And looks all of 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, I mean, Carter jacked, you know, rocked out, but he's not a large man.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, at any rate, the crowd was kind of annoyed by this. They even chanted boring in it.
Because it is.
Yeah, and you paid pay-per-view money for this or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Do that on Impact.
But they did get some excitement when Norv was able to get in some offense.
Yes.
So, you know, you could tell they were kind of like, yay!
Right.
This isn't just a squash match on a pay-per-view. Thanks for that. Well, he hit him with the same finisher used by Dean Ambrose. So that's going to be his finisher, I guess, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll give it a name.
Probably
name
won't.
For the finishers?
No. Yeah.
Ethan Carter III wins via pinfall. Mike Tenay did acknowledge that Ethan Carter III is the nephew of TNA president Dixie Carter. Kayfabe, of course. But... So, along the storylines,
The way I would have done this, and I sound, and I know people who are listening are probably like, this jerk over here is just shitting on the TNA pay-per-view, which I am. But where I would have done more with this is have EC3 come in, do a promo, another guy comes out, Dixie Carter comes in, says, don't mess with my nephew.
Yeah.
EC3 off the distraction, does his finisher. We have a new feud. Instead, we just got a, this guy is really cool, right, guys? No. Okay, well, then he's a heel. Cool, right? No.
No. It'd be interesting to see if they make sure they recognize, if they ever talk about, you know, he's her nephew. So, obviously, this has to be the child of her brother or sister. Mm-hmm. The last name's Carter, though. Mm-hmm. So, if this is the sister, it likely wouldn't be. If it's like... her sister's son, because she might likely have a different name because she's no longer a Carter.
Right.
Although Dixie Carter shouldn't be a Carter anymore. She's married, but still uses the Carter. So who knows? It's probably inconsequential, but I'd just like to see them screw something up again. So then we get, speaking of screwing up, we get Sting versus Magnus. Sting and Magnus started off nice to each other, but then Magnus started to use a few cheap shots here and there. You're saying he's going to turn heel. Eventually started using Sting's moveset to get into Sting's head, which is kind of a heel tactic.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd didn't really seem too excited about this match, though. And yeah, I'll tell you why. Because it's Sting.
Hold on. It's not Sting.
It's Sting.
No. Because Sting could have a good storyline if it's built into something that has good writing.
Yeah.
This has horrible writing that they got lazy about and were hoping that you, the fan, would say,
it's Sting!
Exactly.
But instead, we said, it's Sting.
Right. Anyway, and Magnus.
Yeah, Magnus slaps on a clover leaf, and Sting taps. You don't see Sting tapping a whole lot.
And it's good to see Sting lose at Bound for Glory, because I think there was a time period of maybe 4 years in a row. He was in the title match, and he won every single year.
Yep,
it was so stupid.
Yes. Well, Sting wants a handshake after the match, and Magnus gives him a quick, obligatory one, just real fast, and then walks off. Like, he really didn't want to give him that handshake. Sting looks at him. Perplexed. I wonder why he would.
You know why? Because he didn't get the match that you got from Flair, Sting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah. Well, we move on. We come for the main event of the evening. TNA World Heavyweight Championship no disqualification match announced earlier at some point. I don't know. AJ Styles versus Bully Ray. It was announced at some point, and I kind of forget when. Okay. Yeah. Well, we got Jeremy Borash to introduce the main event competitors. I like it when they do this. Gives it a big match feel.
Big match feel, yeah.
Yeah. Bully Ray controlled early with a slow, methodical approach. A lot of trash talking, right? And then they start going back and forth. That, like, the trash talk gets AJ into it. That's when we start really getting in the match. We got interference from Bish and Nux at different times. Dixie brought in a chair that got used by both competitors. Dixie also prevented Earl Hebner from counting a pin.
And I love that because Earl Hebner was defiant. He goes, oh, you don't think I'll count? One.
Then he looks back at her like,
yeah, what? I did it.
What?
I screwed over Brett. What? You think I won't screw over you?
Two.
Yeah. And then Bully kicks out.
Say what again, motherfucker? Right.
and then Bully kicks out. But I loved it how he looked up. He's like, oh, you don't think I will? One.
Yeah, yeah.
Two. Okay. He kicked out, but I would have had the three.
I would have done it.
All right.
AJ eventually hits a spiral tap to get the pin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. New TNA World Heavyweight Champion, AJ Styles. Dixie Carter looks horrified. AJ celebrates in the crowd.
Yeah, with the 1,000 people that were still left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Funny thing about this show, every title changed hands.
Because they're done. I feel this was my thought process of why that happened when you brought this up to me. I think it was maybe everything that Hogan was a part of, we're moving on. Maybe he resigns. Maybe he doesn't. If he doesn't, we're just going to start all over. So all new champs, all new storylines. There you go. I think that was maybe the reason. Now, that's just a guess. I don't really know, but that's what I feel like is the reason why all titles changed hands.
Very well could be the case. And, I mean, yeah, they needed to do something. So if they're going to make some changes now, then, you know, please tell me they're going to be worth something when I start tuning in the next time on Impact.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't just keep giving me recycled crap just with new people. But funny thing, last week we had such a jam-packed episode with Dolph Ziggler and Martin Thomas that we could not fit in our picks for TNA Bound for Glory.
Oh, do we need to bring that up?
So we did, however, do the picks later between ourselves.
Yes.
Know, off air. And now we're going to review the picks.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
And that should tell you my satisfaction with this, because usually I'm pretty good. First time TNA, not so much.
Well, the pre-show gauntlet match.
Let's go.
You know, that tag team gauntlet match. You said Bad Influence would win in the end by pinning.
Should have.
Didn't happen. You got a goose egg.
What'd you get?
I said Bromans would win via pinfall. I got 8 points.
Listeners, mark that down right now.
I got points. TNA X Division Championship match. We know what happened. Chris Sabin is the winner. You said Manic would win and retain. 0 points. I said Austin Aries would pull down the title.
Zero.
Zero.
That one was hard, though.
Yeah,
let's
I mean,
be honest.
How do you, anyone of them could have won.
Yeah, yeah. They could have went anywhere with that.
I honestly struggled with, I was like, I got to go Joe, because why would they add him last minute?
Yes.
Right? Why would you add him last minute? But apparently that was Samoa Joe going, hey, fuckholes, I don't have a spot on this card.
Yeah, it's your biggest card. I'm your biggest star.
Asshole.
Do something.
Well, then we get the tag team championship, Bromans versus Gunner and the Cowboy James Storm. You said Bad Influence would win because they won the gauntlet and they would be the new world tag team champions of the world. You got 0 points. I correctly knew it was going to be Bromans versus Storm and Gunner, and I said Storm and Gunner would retain. Damn it. I should have went with my gut, but I thought, feel good moment. They've got to have somebody retain.
Nope.
And what titles don't really matter, all
right.
of them, but,
right.
you know, yeah, anyway. So, next, TNA Knockouts Championship Triple Threat, ODB, Gail Kim, Brooke. Gail Kim won with the help of Lady Tappa. You said ODB would win, and Lady Tappa would come in after the match and affect the outcome. So, you got 0 points. You're seeing a pattern here, folks.
Yep.
I said it would be a pinfall by ODB. So... 0 points. So right now, we're still at 8-0 with me.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. Then, what's next? Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode. You said Kurt Angle would win with the submission of the ankle lock, and we'd have a Bad Influence run in. So you got
zero
points. I said the exact same thing would happen. Yep. 0 points.
Our pay-per-view is so much better than theirs. It is.
Well, we got Magnus versus Sting. You said Magnus would win this match via a pinfall.
Oh, yeah.
You won with a submission. So you got 5 points.
Yeah, I'm on the board.
5 points.
My ass is on that board.
I said pinfall as well by Magnus. So I got my 5 points.
Damn it.
3 ain't enough, man. Nope. I need 5.
Yep.
Final match. Final match. World
yep.
Heavyweight Championship. You said AJ Styles would win, hitting the Styles Clash, which he didn't do, but pinfall. So there's your 8 points. You said Aces and Eights would run in with Ken Anderson after the fact.
Hold on. They did run in, though.
Yeah, they did run in.
So do I get something?
I'll give you a point.
Okay.
I'll give you 9.
All right.
9 points.
Thanks.
We need points.
Because you probably said the same exact thing.
I did say the exact same thing.
You son of a bitch. All right, listeners, mark this down.
Captain Awesome is the winner by a score of 22-14.
TNA is not important. Okay, I get the pay-per-views that matter, right?
Okay. I'm going to add these to our totals here. 1 second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listeners, remember this. I go after the big fish, okay? I'm not worried about these TNA fishes.
I've caught up. I'm now 23 points behind you. So we've got Hell in a Cell and Survivor Series left, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm going to kick your ass on Survivor Series.
I need you to suck, but I can gain the... this is not out of possibility.
I'm not confident in Hell in a Cell picks, but I'm definitely confident in Survivor Series. And then nothing's even been booked, but I know I'm going to beat you in Survivor Series.
The problem is here, I've won 2 of these, you won 2 of them. The problem is... when I beat you,
it's marginal.
It's closer. You beat me by a lot more.
I kicked that ass.
Yeah. So
it's a stomping.
Yeah. I gotta hope that you really screw the pooch on Hell in a Cell, which we'll get into later. But for now, damn, we've got to take a break. It's been a while.
Yeah, it was a pay-per-view we had to cover.
But we're going to come back, and we're going to start talking some Raw.
Yeah, not TNA, so.
Yeah. Hopefully this Aces and Eights thing is done, but it's probably not. You're going to see a little bit more. Ken Anderson's got to come back. There's got to be that feud.
Yeah.
They did help him. They said they kind of made it seem like they weren't going to help him.
Right.
But they helped him.
Yeah.
No reluctance.
Yeah, just there they are. They did it. Yeah. Whatever.
So maybe he'll blame them on.
Yeah, not.
And then they'll be like, what the hell, man? We did help you.
You didn't help
and
us.
And Ken Anderson's like, hey.
Remember me?
Told you the guy's a scumbag. All right, when we come back, Raw, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, Spanish Announce Table.
The unexpected. 102.5 The Fan, the biggest name in KC sports radio, Jim Rome.
Give it a shot. You want something radical? Try that.
Jim Rome is sports radio. Weekdays 11 till 2 on FM Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
We need a Spanish announce table on Friday night.
Yeah, it's not Friday night, JBL. But we can give you a Spanish announce table tonight.
Unless you are listening to it on Friday
night.
That's
true. This is downloadable for your listening pleasure at your own convenience. So. Listen to it on Friday night, and there you go.
Yeah.
We aim to please.
We try.
We provide a service. Pay us a dollar.
Please?
JBL's got a lot of cash.
JBL, give me $10.
He's got a lot of scratch.
Yeah.
A lot of Skrilla. I don't know what the kids are calling it these days.
I don't either. It's money. You know what term I also don't like? Bucks. Hey, it's $5.
You don't like bucks?
Mm-mm.
$5, man.
I don't like saying
five
that.
Buck box?
Uh-uh.
You don't like bucks?
Mm-mm.
$5?
Nope.
Yeah, it's $5.
No.
You want me to say this is $5?
$5. Because that's what it actually is.
Yeah, okay.
Bucks is an animal.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
You're insane.
I know. I just don't like it. It irritates me. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, it's to each his own.
Yeah.
Monday Night Raw.
From Memphis, Tennessee.
We start off with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon Levesque. Got to call her by her proper name. They guarantee a winner at Hell in a Cell.
Of course they do.
Triple H claims he's happy that Shawn Michaels is the guest referee because he's someone he respects. This is when we get the Big Show popping up on the Titantron. Do they still call it that?
I call it that.
I think we've asked this before. Via satellite, which, okay, no.
Yeah.
There's just a satellite ready to go.
Right.
They all buy just some have a satellite ready to
buy
go. You
some
know how expensive
bricks.
That is?
Well, buy some bricks.
Yeah.
That's well lit.
Yeah. And live via satellite. Okay, so they're saying, you know, show hijack the satellite feed or whatever. WWE just has a satellite feed on standby at any given time?
Yeah.
No. Too expensive. Two, Big Show, you're broke. You don't got the money to hack in on a satellite feed. Well, at any rate, it's wrestling. But it's still real to me, damn it. He asked, he tells them they don't know the meaning of respect, right? He asked why Triple H is getting so mad. Is it because he's suing him for the remaining millions of dollars on his contract? Or because he's suing him for slander or all the other reasons he could be suing him? And then he says this here.
Are you hostile just because maybe, I don't know, maybe because you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? But then again, considering who you're sleeping next to, any side of the bed is going to be the wrong side of the bed.
Ooh.
Do you think, personally, she gets tired of that? Because here's the thing. When it was the first time around and we were saying that she was a whore or a slut or a hoe or whatever it was, they would chant that.
Trash bag, ho.
Right, yeah. They would chant ho, 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 or slut, slut. So you got a reaction. Now you're not getting a reaction, but you're still getting insulted. It's like, hey, guys. Stop that.
You gotta think maybe she doesn't necessarily like it, but she's kind of the same thing as McMahon. Whatever. What's best for business.
Yeah.
Well, Stephanie tells Show to shut up. But Big Show screams back at her to shut up. And Stephanie orders the feed to be shut off.
Uh-huh. She does a little countdown, too. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. Triple H says they need to keep things moving and introduces Dean Ambrose for his match. But instead, who comes out? Daniel Bryan.
Love him.
Yes, Chance. And the Authority. Do not look happy.
Although, the only thing that I didn't like is because then they go to break, right?
Yeah.
And he continues to just run around the ring chanting yes.
Yeah.
which made him kind of seem Doink the Clownish.
Yeah.
Which Triple H has brought up before.
Yes.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. And honestly, that kind of reminded me of like, okay.
I can see that. Well, we get that Daniel Bryan versus Dean Ambrose, U.S. champion, non-title match, of course. It looks like WWE wants to start the show with the best match of the night by putting these two together.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan connects with a missile drop kick, starts kicking Ambrose in the chest with his, you know, whatever you call it.
Yes,
like
kicks.
Shin kicks. Yeah, yes, kicks. Ambrose ducks one of them, rolls up Bryan, but Bryan counters into the yes lock for the submission victory.
I like that. Yeah. That was a good match.
Yeah, that was a good match. Then we get CM Punk comes out to talk about his Hell in a Cell match. He says Hell in a Cell defines careers and ends them. But he says he will be defined by what he does to Heyman. And then he's not going to make them, he's not going to pin them. He's not going to make them tap. He's going to put Ryback to sleep and then watch Heyman squirm. Punk says Heyman knows nothing of Extreme, but on Sunday he's going to show Heyman what he knows about Extreme. He says the three men will enter the cell, but only one will walk out, and that one is him, the best in the world.
You know what I always think of when they do promos is who picks the spot of where they do them? Because in this one, Punk was on the
stage, right? Not in the ring.
Who picks that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a time situation. Because, you know, it takes a couple minutes to get down to the ring with your music, so.
I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be interesting to know. Yeah. But it was a good promo.
I like this promo, it's ends careers, defines him. Well, what's going to define me? Like, he rolls. He's very good at A to B to C to D to I'm going to kick your ass.
Best in the world, yeah.
I love to kick him. Triple H.
That's twice now.
Triple H is in the back telling Vicky not to screw up tonight because she's standing in for the injured Brad Maddox, which we'll get into.
Well, that's good, though, because it still shows that Triple H and Stephanie, who fired Vicky, still doesn't like him.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't like her too much. So I like that. That it wasn't like a, okay, Vicky, this is what we do tonight. Yeah, you know, it's just, no, hey, just don't screw up because you're our last option. Get out of here.
Well, Stephanie's talking to security on the phone.
Well, how are you going to talk to security?
They could be right there in front of you.
Oh, well, I was assuming that she was talking to, like, the head of security.
Yeah, it could be. Well, of course she would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's talking to the FBI. All right, well, they walk into their dressing room to find Shawn Michaels hanging out.
I like
that. For them. Yeah. They all embrace Shawn, makes fun of Triple H's suit for a little bit. Shawn asks why Triple H doesn't think Bryan can be champion and reminds him that people used to say that about the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie starts to complain about Big Show's recent actions, and Shawn again reminds them that he and Triple H used to do that to Vince, and everyone loved it. She thought it was funny. She said it was funny, but it's different. A lot has changed since then, and Shawn says he has noticed that a lot's changed, and that's too bad. But he says he's not the one who's had to grow up, so he's going to go have some fun.
Yeah, and I liked how he mentioned, he goes, you know, they used to say that about me.
Yeah.
And then he paused.
Yeah.
And he goes, they also used to say that about
you. Quite honestly, they also used to say that about you. Triple H paused, too. He kind of was looking at him like, had that realization, like, motherfucker.
Right, yeah.
I kind of was like, man, that could be like the turning point where maybe Triple H is like, maybe we're doing the wrong thing here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, then we get Santino Marella versus Heath Slater. Yeah, looking forward to this one all week. Santino's wearing an Elvis costume in honor of Memphis.
Who cares?
Heath Slater climbs to the top.
Who cares?
Santino hits him midair with Cobra.
Who cares?
Gets the pinfall.
Who cares?
Winner.
Who cares?
Santino Marella!
Who cares? This was all stupid. This could have been your dark main event. It was so dumb. It portrayed, hey, Memphis, we love Memphis. We love Jerry. We love Memphis. I don't care.
Yeah, why didn't you just have the honky-tonk man come out?
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm a honky-tonk man.
I mean, it's just, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, well, Dolph Ziggler. We met that guy.
Hey, now he's a good one.
He's a good guy. Facing Randy Orton. Yeah.
Good match.
I mean, two solid workers. You got, eventually, though, what happens here, I'm speeding this up for time purposes. Orton starts pounding the mat, you know, with his fist, doing his Viper thing, setting him up, getting ready for the RKO, but he gets met with a Dolph Ziggler dropkick instead. Yeah. Dolph goes for the zigzag, which Orton counters into the RKO for the pin. He finds great ways to counter into or, you know, out of nowhere hit those.
Yeah.
Those are, which, I mean, it's kind of easy.
Yeah, and it's a really, really cool. Yeah, exactly. And it's always like the super kick. Yeah. Those are the best finishers when you can do them out of nowhere.
Yes.
You know, whoa, what happened? There it is. Yes. Boom, now match is over.
So you can tell he really puts time and effort in with his opponent. Say, okay, we know I'm an RKO, But how do we do this?
Right.
How do we do
and
this?
And with Dolph Ziggler, who sells better than anyone, he even sold that RKO better than most.
Yes.
Where, you know, just chest planting onto the mat and then flipping over. You know, it was just great.
Yeah, it was great. Well, speaking of great, we get Tamina Snuka and AJ Lee versus the Bella Twins.
Now, I like this. Usually I don't. You know, usually I say, who cares, in the same, you know,
same vein
breath
of the early one. Yeah.
Right. But this was really good.
Yeah.
I like this.
And again, for time purposes, eventually what happens is Brie Bella hits the Bella Buster on AJ for the pin.
Well, the point that I thought was interesting is AJ was going to get hit with Brie Bella's front kick.
Right.
And Tamina Snuka jumps in front.
Right. Like
to
take the bullet.
Takes the bullet.
Right. Yes, that's right.
And it still didn't work.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been like the payoff. Like, oh, hey, I did something for you and we won. It was, no, I did something for you and you lost still?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Bitch?
I like that.
Well, then we get a pretty good segment here. We get Renee Young. She's in the back and she stops Paul Heyman. Well, or rather, Paul Heyman just kind of walks up and she starts talking to him like he kind of expected her to talk to him. But he's in the back. He's got Curtis Axel with him right back and she asks him about his match at Hell in a Cell coming up on Sunday. And
A great promo.
This is what Paul had to say.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. It's an execution live on WWE pay-per-view as the best in the world, CM Punk, straps me into the electric chair, puts the poison into my veins, lines me up in front of the firing squad, and pulls the trigger himself for the first time ever. And for the first time ever again, it will never ever happen as a non-participant actually gets locked inside of the cell with a man who doesn't spend his night fantasizing about the divas. CM Punk spends his night fantasizing and obsessing about the massacre he wants to inflict upon Paul Heyman. CM Punk wants to take me down, take me out, drive me away from WWE forever. But just like when a volcano is trapped inside of a dormant mountain, when that volcano finally erupts and the lava, the melted lava, drips down the side of the mountain, I'm just like that lava. I'm red hot and I'm out of control. And all the villagers with the lava pouring down into their houses, destroying their cars, suffocating and melting their flesh. And the villagers are going, what do you like? What do you like? What do you like? They're the ones that love and worship CM Punk, and I'm the one. But that's a different strategy. Because I'm not all filled with emotion like CM Punk, Renee. I'm cold-hearted. And I'm calculated. And I'm in control. The same way I've controlled CM Punk all of these years. The same way I control my monster Ryback. And CM Punk cannot get past my monster Ryback, which means CM Punk can't get his hands on me. Which is why Sunday, 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 I'm not locked in a cell with CM Punk. CM Punk is locked in a cell with me.
Just a bad ass promo.
I mean, great.
Just, I like how he's taking it off.
And I'm the lava.
It's going, it's going on. And then he's like, oh, but that's not me.
Right. And I'm the lava.
Yeah.
I love
that
part.
Yeah.
And the other great thing was Ryback stone faced
the entire time.
Not selling anything.
No flinching.
Yep.
None whatsoever. You can get
great.
Five for flinching. So that's great. But where it stops abruptly there is Big E comes in.
He just walks up.
And you'll find out more as we talk about SmackDown, but there's a little bit of a tension between the Heyman guys and Big E. And Big E asks him, what does he say? Oh, who's the marginal talent now? Which, again, stemming from Ryback, we'll get into that. But Ryback asked him, from SmackDown, not Ryback, you got what I mean. Ryback asked him where his manners are, and Axel asked him, yeah, rookie, don't you know how to say excuse me?
They're both the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, but he's the IC champion.
Whatever.
Well, Heyman says Axel should teach this rookie how veterans have respect in this business, and Big E accepts the challenge as they start to kind of flex on each other a little bit, and Heyman holds back Axel, reminding him to save it for the ring because he doesn't fight for free.
Good promo.
Yeah.
Great promo.
A good promo.
And a great segue into, hey, now here's a match. Yeah. You know, I like that. It served good purposes on both ends. So, very good.
But
very good episode of Raw up to this, except for Santino and whatever all that crap
was. Match of the night?
Shut up.
We're going to come back. We're going to finish Raw up after the break when we start our second hour. Hour number dos.
With a great freaking segment that if you haven't heard this audio or watched this promo, you need to. So yeah. Stay freaking tuned.
Stay tuned. Hour dos of the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network, which happens to be on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
What's up, people? Mr. Old School, alter ego to Da Mountie, here to let you know about a new podcast that I've been working on called Old School at the Movies. We talk all about the latest news and rumors, we review stats, we've got our own movie review of the week, predictions, contests, all that good stuff. Check us out at oldschoolmovies.net. Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news.
Hey, what's up? It's WWE Superstar Dolph Ziggler here, and you're listening to the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God, what's going to happen?
The Spanish Announce Table.
Woo! That just happened. Dolph Ziggler told you what you're listening to.
That was neat.
That was neat. I feel like we've accomplished something. Just because we strong-armed a guy who was here and corralled him into our studio. Right. But
you know, still happened.
I feel like we're legitimate now.
Yep.
We're on top of the world.
No one better than us.
There is no one better than us.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So send us a dollar. Raw.
We're still going. We're still going on to Raw. And this is my favorite segment of the night. Probably... It's so hard to say my favorite promo from Bray Wyatt, but damn, it's close if it isn't number one.
Well, it happens after a match. We get The Miz and Kofi Kingston versus the Wyatt family, Eric Harper and Luke Rowan. Yeah. Kofi drops Rowan with a Trouble in Paradise, but is met by Harper's Big Lariat, which is, wow. Yeah. I mean, it's like JBL style.
Yeah, it's very good. I wonder if JBL kind of is giving him points on how to, like, all right, you want this to really smack? You know what I mean? You really want this to
From what
impact.
I hear, Luke Harper's getting a lot of praise in the back for his performances, and that's part of it.
And he's the one more so than the other that does the yeah. You know, he's like
a real Eric psycho. Rowan wears the mask and doesn't say anything really, but this guy, you get to see his face more. You get to see him, and he does more of the... He's more of the aggressor in these attacks.
Yeah.
The other guy's there, and he'll catch and do the secondary work.
Right.
But Harper's giving the lariat. He's kind of going out. He's kind of the lead out of the two. So maybe there's a hierarchy in there that they haven't really said anything
or
about.
Or maybe, you know, one's brainwashed and the other one's legitimately crazy. You know, I don't know. But it always seems like Harper's the one going, yeah. And I love that because it's like, this is really crazy.
Yeah.
And he's got a dirty shirt and all that stuff.
Yeah, he does have a real dirty shirt.
Yeah.
I got to wonder, like,
it's probably a legitimate
shirt. He probably doesn't wash that thing. And people are probably like, God damn it, man. Yeah.
And he's like, no, if it's a gimmick.
He's like, look, man, it's, and they're like, but okay, somebody get him his own locker room. Well, the family attacks Miz and Kofi after the match, and they tie up Miz in the ropes, and they hold Miz down and open his eye, like hold his eyes open and make him watch as Bray Wyatt comes in and cuts a promo that you spoke so highly of. You want me to play it?
Yes.
Will you give me a dollar?
That's tough.
I have won wars without so much as lifting a finger, man.
Man.
And I bet you think I don't know you, Miz, but ooh, I do. Now, tell me something, friend, if I may. Do you believe in the Creator, life after death? I do. But I am not here to convince you that hell is a real thing, man. No, no, no. I am just here to lead you to the gate. Follow the buzzers.
When he does things like that,
yeah,
he is so much better than everything in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I legitimately mean it.
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
It's so layered with curiosity,
yes,
and he delivers it probably more original than anyone possibly could.
It 100% fits the gimmick. Like, you couldn't create a more believable cult leader,
yes,
with religious
and then the
dogma
thing,
things.
But yeah, the thing that irritates me, and you mentioned this when we were grabbing this audio, stop with the what chants when it's something awesome.
Yeah.
If it's Miz talking about how he's going to beat Kofi, and
yeah,
that, you know, back in the day, or a couple months ago, okay, do the what chants. Hey, I'm going to beat Kofi. What? Tonight.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And the
when
what
it's
chants,
this,
the
oh,
what
it's
chants,
so good.
For me, like, that fits when somebody's doing a pattern. I say this. What? This. What?
Yeah.
This. What? Like,
he's okay, speaking.
Yes,
he
exactly
is speaking.
Stop just looking for any pause. In the
right,
and then
yeah,
you can hear him try to say it, but it's not a long enough pause. Right. Like, whoa.
Yeah. It's, ah. Yeah. But when he's on and it feels like if he's given, yeah, the ball, man, he,
oh, it's magical,
dunks it.
It's magical.
He dunks it.
Yeah.
And I loved how he, if you notice, he talked about the Creator.
Yeah.
But
in
he
life
said,
after death.
Right. But then he said, I'm going to take you to hell.
That's right. Yeah, he did. He mentioned hell.
But he
and,
didn't.
Well, to the gates. My job is not to convince you it's a real thing. My job is to take you to the gates.
But the Creator is who he believes in, and I'm not trying to make you believe, but I'm taking you to the gates. He's talking that the devil is the Creator.
You think he's saying the devil's the Creator?
That's what I think. That's where I got from. It's easy to say the Creator. Okay, we're talking about God.
Right.
But he says, I believe, and I'm taking you to his gates.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, I was like, yeah, what? This is,
yeah,
nuts.
It should be great. I'm just so interested to see where this is,
yeah,
going to go. Is Miz going to be... This could help Miz's thing. I mean, Miz needs a change. If he could get dark and sinister and maybe start following, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Call him Mike.
Call him Mike.
Yep. Call
Mike
him
Mizanin.
Yep.
Yeah, the Miz thing, we can get over that,
yeah,
now.
Call him Mike Mizanin.
Mike Mizanin.
And call Kane Glenn Jacobs, and you make these guys followers.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
There's the Wyatt family.
There's the
That's
Wyatt
a hell
family.
Of a Wyatt family.
And you.
Harper and Rowan.
Yep.
Glenn Jacobs. Uh-huh. Mike Mizanin.
Yep.
Follow All Bray Wyatt.
And you lead this slow building army or family.
That could even be.
And then you have the Shield and Triple H, or if it's Vince at that time,
yeah,
be the protectors of the WWE. That's the ultimate goal in my eyes.
How about this one? See No Evil 2, shooting has wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Jacobs, Kane, is set to come back and return,
mm-hmm,
to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Miz fighting off Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Their big feud's happening. Who's the surprise one to come out and help the Wyatt family?
Yes.
The Where's Kane?
Yeah.
Where's Kane?
Uh-huh.
I'll show you where Kane is.
Yes. And that's what,
yeah,
I'm saying. The two ultimate goals or end stories for Bray Wyatt, and I don't want this to happen at Survivor Series.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah,
talking,
no, no.
I'm talking you do this slow building army,
yeah,
to where this goes to not even this year's WrestleMania. Do it next year,
yeah,
31. You know? The only...
Or even, you know, if that's too long, SummerSlam at least.
Right. The only
no earlier
two,
than next year's SummerSlam.
The only two people I want the Wyatt family to go up against is, one, I personally would much rather see the Shield with McMahon's,
yeah,
go up against them, or you do Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Those
That's
are the only
two.
Two
end results.
Yeah.
And even the Undertaker's just kind of, I don't think he can provide the quality performance anymore that needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, the promos
really
could be good,
over.
You know, and
yeah, but
stuff like
the
that, but we've seen a lot of...
Promos aren't really that good.
Right, it's the... editing, all that stuff.
And it's the match at the end,
right?
Where you, and it's just the streak kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But to me, that better be the one that ends the streak.
Yes.
If you put him up against that.
Yeah. But and don't do this where they could drop the ball and really ruin this, in my opinion. And if you listeners disagree, hey, send us an email and a dollar and we'll read it. But this is where I think they might drop the ball, is they do the Wyatt family and they build and they build, and it's Cena. And Cena is the one that helps and defends the WWE. Now, if you want to do Cena with the Shield and those guys are the protectors of WWE, okay, with McMahon's, I'm going to give you some leeway. But if it's just Cena that fights off Bray Wyatt and makes him go away, I'll be pissed. Pissed! I'll be Hornswoggle pissed.
I had not even entertained that thought in my mind.
You know why? Because you know where they could try to recreate history, like WWE? And here's the other thing, before I go into that. Everything's been seen. You know what I mean? There's not too many things. But where I'm thinking WWE wants to go with this is in WCW, they'll steal something from WCW, I think, when Hogan went up against the Dungeon of Doom, led by Kevin Sullivan. Remember that? But then Hogan went dark. Remember, he wore some all black. It was the first time you got to see that, and he did went, you know, dark for Hogan.
Right.
That's where I think they might go if they don't do the McMahon Shields or Undertaker. They'll do Cena.
Ooh.
Gets dark and then beats him, and then, yay, we're all in bright colors again.
I'm legitimately kind of mad at you for putting this idea in my head now.
It's been in my mind ever since John Cena came back so early, because then after Alberto Del Rio, what does he do?
I feel a little queasy right now.
I know. But imagine the promos Bray Wyatt cuts on Cena.
Oh, I wouldn't mind seeing that, but not the end thing.
Right.
They go through Cena, and then it gets to the McMahons and the Triple H and the Shield as a face.
Yes.
Finally, like, we went through everybody. We went through your poster boy, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We went through your Chosen Saint, man.
Now that could be cool.
The Chosen Saint.
Yes.
Anyhow,
going back to this, those are the three options I think WWE has. I hate option three. I love option one.
I don't like option C.
Option two. Option two honestly makes the most sense as far as traditionally looking
back.
But I don't
think it does.
Well, I mean, if you look at their writing.
Yeah, right. That's true, because it's heaven and hell, and there's always been that dichotomy within The Undertaker. But. Well, we move on to Curtis Axel versus Big E Langston. And before the match can begin, Ryback and Axel start attacking Langston at ringside.
Can we just do a whole show on the Wyatt family?
Yes.
I want to.
We can do that. Why not?
Yeah.
CM Punk comes out to help Langston in this situation. This is when we get Vicky Guerrero comes out and says, no, this match is going to be started, and it's going to be started as a tag team match.
As a tag team.
A tag team match.
Teddy Long.
Player, holla, 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 holla. Tag team match right now. So, it's Curtis Axel and Ryback versus Big E Langston and CM Punk. And, I mean, decent tag team match.
Yeah, they're both good.
Yeah, Big E Langston gets the pin after hitting the big ending, which is what they're calling his move there, to Curtis Axel.
Hey, you get a name to a finish, so
it's
be
true.
Happy.
Yeah, and it's Big E.
Yeah.
Big ending to Curtis Axel. So, Big E Langston, CM Punk win. Now, we get another tag team match.
Well, the one thing I also liked at the very end is Punk realizes Heyman's kind of out by himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he runs after him, and then Heyman has to run out.
Right.
It's just that one more layer of, I'm always going to kick your ass.
Yeah,
every
yeah.
second I think I have.
If I get an opening,
I'm going to kick your ass. I like that.
Heyman ran out through the crowd. Right. Tons of funk. Your favorites. Complete with the Funkadactyls.
Did they seem not interested, Funkadactyls?
Could they be interested?
Well, I mean, usually they come in with high energy.
Yeah, they're
looking at the crowd. They kind of seem like, meh. Now, I know they're filming Total Divas, so that could be, look at them. They had an issue backstage. But they seemed really not into it.
Yeah, that could be it, too.
Yeah.
That could be part of a work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, they take on the Real Americans with Zeb Coulter. Cesaro manages to get his Cesaro swing in again on Brodus, which was cool. But then he tags in Swagger, who comes in and puts Brodus in the Patriot lock for the submission victory. So it's not just, hey, Cesaro. Again, they're giving these guys face. They're giving them shine. You know, like, that's not what, you know.
Well, my favorite thing from this match wasn't even the match. It was the commentary between Cole,
yes.
Zeb Coulter, JBL, and then occasionally King would drop in with a line or two. And they would go back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah. I have
some
of the best talkers in the business.
I have to think, though, Vince or whoever's in Gorilla, maybe it's Triple H, is just going, okay, at this match, just go.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not even caring what they do. Because they didn't call any moves.
Dutch Mantel, Zeb Coulter.
Yeah.
Can go.
Yeah, but they didn't call any moves except for the swing.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Well, Zeb Coulter gets in the ring and he introduces his new little friend. He then pulls out a bullwhip out of a bag and leads the crowd in a We the People chant. And we'll get more into this when we talk about SmackDown because of El Torito of Los Matadores.
And he even whips it at the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
It's great. Anyway, then we get the Usos versus a lot of tag team matches tonight.
Very good. I liked it.
The Usos versus The Shield in a WWE Tag Team Championship number one contenders match. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
I felt, though...
Well, it ended in no contest.
Right. I felt, though, that Goldie Rhodes...
Yeah, Goldie Rhodes.
...and Dean Ambrose...
Uh-huh.
...like, were almost stealing the attention away from the match.
Yeah.
Like, they had so many, like, and then it started the fight that started everything. And Dean Ambrose doesn't... I mean, why are you trying to fight with him? I mean, I get why you're trying to fight with him, but don't. Because now you just costed...
Well, they're out there because they're supposed to be the commentary table.
Right, but Dean Ambrose should be more... He was actually... It seemed like he was more by the announce table than he was ringside.
Yeah.
So I felt like, hey, man, you just cost your team a match. I'd be pissed at you.
Yeah, why
are
you over there talking smack?
Yeah, just leave him alone.
And smack, smack.
Right.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. We get Triple H and Stephanie to come out for the Hell in a Cell main event contract signing. Gotta love a contract signing.
Oh, did you... I might have missed this when I was thinking or just thinking about myself. It went to a no contest,
right.
So then now at Hell in a Cell, it's all three...
Oh, I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All three will be...
So it's a triple threat tag team
match. For the titles.
Yeah, that could be good.
Yeah, and it's good to have the Usos just in there. They provide a good bit of athleticism... And high spots to makes it entertaining because honestly they have nothing to do with really the storyline between Shield
it's a
and
different
Rhodes.
Demo that's gonna be interested in the match too.
Yeah,
you're gonna get more of the Cena crowd with the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna come out and we say Us.
Yeah,
they'll
you say so
or whatever the hell. Yeah,
yeah.
I want to be it there sometime so I can say no. Anyway, Orton.
Ooh, no,
no. Orton speaks first at this contract signing. So he's got to give Brian credit where it's due because he gets beat down every week, but he keeps getting back up every time. But he tells him, you're not going to get back up after Hell in a Cell. And then he talks about how he survived The Undertaker at Hell in a Cell, beat John Cena and Sheamus in the cell, and he has no doubt that he's going to beat down Brian convincingly in the cell. He tells Brian it'll be his last time in the cell, and then he signs a contract.
Yep.
One signature down. Brian then says Orton always threatens him and pushes him to his limit, but they all know he'd be WWE champion if it weren't for Triple H and The Shield. Says he's more than capable of smashing his face in, and he's got two words for him. Those words are, thank you. Because Orton did a lot for him. Brian says Orton brought the best out in him, but he also exposed Triple H and Stephanie for their narcissistic, spoiled brats that they truly are. Yeah. Triple H says he's seen guys like Brian before, naming Edge and Chris Jericho as examples.
And RVD.
And RVD. Chris Jericho even actually...
got pissed and said, screw you, then I'm out of here, basically.
I kind of wonder if that's real or if that's...
Yeah, I think it's fake. Because Jericho and Triple H seem to be really good friends.
Well, anyway, he says they were good, but they weren't the top guys they needed. He says Brian will just prove how average he is this Sunday. Brian tells him to trade his suit in for some wrestling gear and let him prove how good he is. Yeah, it's pretty nice. Triple H says he would, but he only faces stars, not him, which, again, is kind of funny. And he's capable of fighting in, but he wouldn't waste his time fighting someone like him anyway. He says Sean shouldn't have wasted his time training Brian. But Sean chimes in and says he didn't waste his time, and he knows... Oh, and he wants to know what happened to his friend.
Right.
What happened
because I thought it was interesting. Triple H introduced Shawn Michaels at this contract signing as his best friend. And my best friend, Shawn Michaels, you know. And Shawn's tone wasn't the, hey, 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 guys, what are we doing?
Yeah,
it was more like, hey, what are you, what's up?
Yeah, what is your deal?
Like, let's take away the cameras. Let's go backstage. we're going to talk.
Yeah, like, you know? What is going on with
right.
you?
Right, like, it was really
like,
good.
Cut the bullshit.
Right.
All right, I get your shtick, but what's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, Sean talks about all the good times they had, and he says he doesn't care about Triple H being in charge or training Brian, but he is the referee. He says he's going to give the fans what they deserve, and that's what he cares about. But Orton chimes in, tells Triple H that Sean just has a vendetta against him. Triple H says Orton is wrong because Sean will do what's right. And Sean says he will do what's right for the fans. He asks why Triple H has a problem with Brian and says he thinks it's because Brian proved him wrong. Yeah. Then Orton says Brian can't beat him. Orton says he will take him to hell. Starts his own yes chant until they're cut off by video of a tractor trailer entering the arena.
And that took me back to the Attitude Eras. You know, yeah, or yeah. Attitude Era, not
yeah,
Eras,
yeah, right,
but
right.
the Attitude Era. Because if one thing I always remember about the Attitude Era, besides the outrageous storyline Stone Cold and The Rock, is it seemed like every week someone, mainly Stone Cold, was driving some piece yeah. of machinery into the arena.
But this one kind of like, I mean, so Big Show, he drives the truck right up to the stage and he starts a yes chant on the roof, but... So you drove a truck in, like, what does that
well,
do?
Well, because he has security, yeah. so how are you going to get through security?
Yeah.
Diesel, he's big, 7 foot. I got that, but do something with it. You
Crash
know?
Something, you know, and, break
and
something.
They, and the,
steal a WWE production truck
right.
or something. And yeah,
do something
yeah.
cooler like that. Where I thought WWE missed as far as producing-wise, because remember we talked about that job that was opening a
yes.
few weeks ago.
That I should have got hired for.
Yes. Well, they missed Brian kicking Orton because they kept showing Big Show, and he's yep, like, turn around, yep. turn around, turn around. And by the time they went to him, Brian had already kicked Orton, which is a miss-up, or a mess-up.
Miss-up.
A miss-up. That was a miss-up of mine.
Yeah.
But it was a mess-up on the producer, and it kind of was anticlimactic. And then they both did the yes chant, which Big Show, fucking stop, man.
Yeah.
That's not yours.
Well, you know.
And Triple H
it's
only
not
wrestles.
Stop.
Triple H only wrestles stars. He's gonna have a match with Big Show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Big Show's the best big man of all time, but he's never carried the damn company.
Yeah, no, ever. Not been a star.
Yeah, he was naming Rock and Cena and stuff like that. Big Show's not in that category.
Well, that was Raw. Decent Raw. I liked it.
I liked it
We're
too.
We're gonna get into SmackDown, which happened to be in Kansas City, Missouri.
I was there.
I know you was. So let's. We'll talk about that when we come back. Spanish Announce Table, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
When you get to work, turn on the fan. John Feinstein, weekdays 8 to 11 on your new home for sports, FM Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
American Dream. Just a
this song's just great. It makes you want to like...
Right, but where did he go? Where did he go in this Rhodes, Shield...
Back down to NXT, man. Saved his job. Get back to work.
I guess, but it just feels
Son
like...
Son of a bitch. You got work to do, Dusty. Get back down there to NXT. And...
Well,
well
no,
is he though? Because it's JBL.
Yeah, JBL took the job, so he ain't doing that. I just wish that he would be accompanying... the Rhodes family as they walk out to further that storyline of family. Because when we both think Goldust will turn on Cody Rhodes,
right.
it makes more sense to have Dusty there
we'll
and show
probably
the
see
shock.
Him back.
Yeah, hopefully.
Then maybe we'll see Thafi.
She turned on him.
Thafi. She remember? Did turn on him.
Yeah,
went $1 million. Was iron in the money.
Uh-huh.
I remember that. That was yeah. one of the things that stuck out from my young wrestling
that
job.
Was cool.
Sapphire ironing the $1 million man's money. Just great. That was money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had WWE SmackDown came live, well, pre-recorded, obviously, in Kansas City, Missouri. This is how we came across our Dolph Ziggler interview. You were there live in attendance.
I was. It was a very good show.
You had yourself up in like a luxury box. You were
I had a suite.
Living at large.
Yes, yeah. I did have a suite,
yeah.
which... I found a way to get. I didn't pay for it. Remember,
right.
I still need your dollar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is you didn't get the suite. You yeah. got in the suite.
Yeah, I got into the suite.
yeah. Well, we start off with the Mad Ox and Vicky Guerrero in the ring, and Vicky says she demands order and discipline. She's getting a lot of heat. I was proud of Kansas City for this one. They were booing her out of
the
building.
It was loud. It was very loud.
So they said what happened on Raw doesn't it won't happen on SmackDown, and they speak of what's best for business, you know. Says Brad is here to assist her in assuring that. Brad says they have a security perimeter set up to keep the Big Show out because that is what's best for business. Daniel Bryan comes out to praise them for doing what's best for business. But what's best for business is him beating Randy Orton at Hell in a Cell. And then he warns them of a rumor of a 7-foot monster of a character having gotten past security here tonight. And here he is, and the Big Show music hits, and they're scared. And then he starts laughing. He's like, I'm just messing with you guys.
Which I thought was really like, I mean, why are you screwing with?
Yeah.
You're the baby face. Don't screw with the crowd if they already like you.
Yeah. But, well, so he says, who is here tonight is the new World Tag Team Champions, Goldie Rhodes. He didn't say Goldie Rhodes.
Yeah.
He should have said Goldie Rhodes. Goldie Rhodes comes out and Vicky is furious and says that Goldust, Cody, and Daniel will be taking on the Shield tonight. So we're going to get a 6-man tag. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they just stood there.
Yeah, they did just stand there.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. But next up we get Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, the Wyatt family, as it were, against The Miz and Kofi. Same match we had Raw afterwards. But Miz and Kofi put up a good fight, but in the end Harper nails his vicious lariat for the pin on Kofi. The Wyatt family begin to circle Kofi after the match. But Bray calls him off. Bray says it's okay that Miz is afraid because Bray is the hammer that everyone fears and that Miz should enjoy his world as long as he can because the Wyatts are going to take it all away.
It's great. Another good promo. Mm-hmm. Not as good as Monday's, but still very good.
But very good. Next match, we get Brie Bella versus AJ Lee. Of course, they each have their respective, you know, side pieces with them, Nikki Bella and Tamina Snuka. Brie has a bandaged left shoulder, all like ace bandaged up. And AJ takes full advantage of this in the match, showing her ring prowess. This one's, you don't get Divas matches very often where someone isolates a body part.
Right, yeah.
Right? I mean, she's doing arm bars, snapping it over the top rope. You can tell she's watched wrestling.
Yeah, she's a wrestling fan.
She's a wrestler. She's not a diva.
Right.
And it was good. It's a good match. Nikki throws Tamina outside into the steps, which allows Brie to hit the Bella Buster with no outside interference on AJ for the pin.
Here's the thing again that I mentioned last week. Turning the Bella's face.
Yeah, with no turn.
The crowd didn't care.
Yeah.
They really didn't.
Yeah. I've seen in the news, too, that WWE is kind of disappointed with this turn, and they recognize that it's because of that. Because there was no turn. But what are you going to do now? You made the thing. You got to kind of...
You got to go with it. Yeah. But, they're still doing everything the same.
You're putting them up against AJ, who the crowd kind of likes.
Yeah, you know the crowd loves the crazy chick. Yeah.
You're not really helping. Well, anyway, Lillian Garcia is out to announce the next match, but stops short because she realizes Big Show's coming out of the crowd. Big Show displays his shiny autographed ticket that was given to him by Daniel Bryan. Look at that.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, Vicky and Maddox come out, and I mean, they're angry. They strictly tell Big Show to leave and tells him, you've lost everything. Why don't you just get out of here? Big Show informs him that that's the worst thing to say to somebody who's lost everything because now he has nothing to lose. And he cracks Maddox with a fat right hook.
Gave him a legitimate concussion.
Yeah. And it's great, too, when they show it in slow motion, like, it rocks him to the right, and he starts to fall back, and his head bounces forward and back like two times, and he just falls to the ground.
That was a heavy punch.
He literally got him. Just boom. I wonder how that was supposed to go down, because I'm sure he probably said, okay, hit me.
Yeah, and didn't realize Big Show. Man. And here you go. Big Show, the veteran, Maddox, the rookie. Big Show's probably saying, you know what, kid? Get used to this. You know, you want to make it to the Big Show?
Oh, yeah.
You want to earn your keep?
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
With my size 9 million fist.
9 million.
I don't know.
He does have a size 9 million fist. Yeah. It's huge. But anyway, let's move on. We got CM Punk versus Big E Langston. Yeah. This is where we get into what happened on Raw here. The crowd's really into this match.
It was. They were.
Yeah. Typically, our typical small guy versus big guy match, right? Punk managing sporadic offense, but is usually overpowered by Langston, right? Langston eventually hoists Punk up to his shoulder for his big ending, but Punk slips out of it, hits the roundhouse kick to the head, then nails the GTS for the pin. Gets CM Punk. Crowd's happy.
Very good.
Paul Heyman comes out.
What?
Ooh, he's got Ryback and Curtis Axel in tow to congratulate Punk on his victory on a decent, marginally talented rookie.
I know, and they really shit on him, and I was almost like, hey, guys. He was in WrestleMania with Dolph Ziggler against Team Hell No. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he tells him that at Hell in a Cell, however, he'll be facing a caged animal. He says that since he beat him with both hands tied behind his back, that he's the best in the world. It makes me the best in the world. Punk tells him it doesn't make you the best in the world. That makes you an idiot. And he tells him they're going to be locked inside the cell, and that means Heyman cannot run away this time. Punk says, like an animal, he's going to put Ryback to sleep. Yeah, good. Mm. Again, playing off each other's words well.
Yes.
He says he's going to put the two of them through hell. Ryback and Axel go down into the ring and start to beat down Punk. And who comes to the rescue?
Big E.
Big motherfucking E.
Whoa now.
Yeah? A fucking shark ate me. Langston screams at Heyman asking him, who's the rookie now? Which I thought, okay, you're saying the wrong thing because
yeah.
you'd still be a rookie either right, way.
Yeah, yeah, I beat you. Yeah. I'm still a rookie.
yeah. At any rate, so we're getting the Langston face turn. Good for his character.
Right, and very good for his character. You mentioned how Punk and Heyman play off each other, and the reason why they do is because unlike other wrestlers in the past or even still today, they're listening to each other.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they're not really listening to each other. They meet backstage. Sure. And they say, I'm going to say this, right. you say
but
that.
But they work this out, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, I'm saying my stuff, now you say your stuff.
It's not, I'm going to kick your ass because I'm great. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick your ass. Because I'm great.
Yeah. yeah. It's not, I'm saying this and you say that. It's, you said this, I'm going to take what you said yeah. and use it in mine.
Yeah, funny you should say that because.
Right. Boom, boom, boom,
it's
boom.
Yes, it makes, and.
Right.
It's yes, and.
It makes
it's
promos.
Improv.
Yeah. It makes promos so much better.
Yeah. No, it's what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's yes, and. Well, now we get Alberto Del Rio in the ring after a commercial, and he's waving the Mexican flag. Josh Matthews. I suck.
No, this
Josh
segment,
Matthews
this segment
is here.
Sucks.
Josh Matthews is there to interview the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yep.
They show us a typical John Cena vignette, the I'm doing this for every Make-A-Wish kid and
yeah, great.
Everybody that's ever swung off my nuts. And Del Rio tells us that he was carrying that flag because he's Mexico's greatest export, Mexico's greatest champion, and God's gift to humanity. This actually was a pretty decent Del Rio promo, if I do say so myself, because then he tells the crowd that they're just gringos. They've got no flavor. They've got no passion. And he says, John Cena is the ultimate gringo,
right.
which I thought, yes, he
yeah,
is.
That's, yeah.
So he asks who Cena thinks he is by just coming back from surgery and getting a title shot. He says Cena is not the man he used to be, well, except for his ego, because that keeps growing every day. It's like this. I mean, he's hitting on all cylinders here.
Yeah.
This Del Rio promo. He says that after Hell in a Cell, he'll be just like all these gringos, a nobody. He asks Cena if he knows what's going to happen to his injured arm. He says, I'll tell you what's going to happen to your injured arm. Watch this. And then he winks
yeah.
at the camera, grabs Josh Matthews, and slaps the cross arm breaker on him.
Good promo.
Yeah. Bad setup for this match, I think.
But that's kind of what I think about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
If that can tell you, I just yawned while I tried to give a compliment.
It's contagious. No, I just yawned, too. No,
Alberto Del Rio and John Cena is going to make you do that, I bet, three times.
Yeah.
It's just, we know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And they both wrestle very predictable matches.
Yes. Very good.
Yes, but predictable.
Yeah.
You're going to have Del Rio working on an arm.
Boom, boom, boom.
Cena's going to have his boom, five boom. Moves of doom. And we say five moves of doom for Cena, but he's got more moves than that, obviously. But he does typically run through.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is, I mean, it's WWE, so generally they don't give him much time
right.
to do more than his five moves of doom. But I don't see a whole lot of innovative offense coming out of this
or
match.
Big spots where they're going to jump off
yeah,
the cage.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Not
yeah.
like they have no. to, but, you know, something to that
so,
effect.
Well, here's the thing, too. Typically, lately, the World Heavyweight Championship match has been kicking off the show. You think they're going to have Cena kick off the show?
No.
I think that's where it needs to be.
No.
That's what this match should do.
No.
Kick off the show.
Mm-mm. They didn't make those promos to kick off a show.
Kick off the show.
You know what they're going to do? Use these promos throughout the pay-per-view,
oh,
and then
God.
You finally get to see Cena.
It's going to be the co-main event.
Right. Here's a look at Cena's journey to tonight's match.
At the man that is John Cena.
Because it's in the Hell in the Cell, right?
No.
This one isn't?
No, there's only two.
I thought three of them.
Cell. I thought there was only two.
I don't know. I'm stupid.
He never said in the cell, did he? I'm looking over. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Because
it's just Ryback and CM Punk and Paul Heyman. And then the main event.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
If it is, then obviously they're not going to kick off the show. But
no.
I don't think they will. I think they're going to.
They should. Kick it off with a Hell in a Cell. If you got three of them, do one, couple matches, another one, couple matches, the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hire me. Well, we get the real Americans versus the Usos. Seb Coulter, again joining the commentary team, blames the arrival of Los Matadores on the government shutdown.
Yes.
He says, all I'm saying is the government shut down, and then we're seeing Los Matadores. I don't know. Good stuff. Cesaro gets in a 27-rotation Cesaro swing on Jimmy Uso. Swing him around like crazy. It's like one of the most impressive ones, like longest ones he's done.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember going like, man.
Yeah.
This is still going? Yeah. I remember thinking that.
Yeah. JBL even said this might last until Monday Night Raw, which is funny. Yeah. But Coulter continues to dog on Los Matadores and asks what kind of people kidnap a little person and make him dress up like a bull.
Which is true.
Yeah. Well, we get Los Matadores music. And Zeb Coulter stands up, walks up like, what the hell's going on here? They come out and El Torito goes up and gores Coulter in the stomach and then gores him one more time in the ass. Crowd pops. You know, yay.
Well, hold on. They didn't go too crazy.
No, the kids popped that are there.
There you go.
Yay. You were going crazy. You called me. You were like, oh my God. You should have just seen what happened. Mm. Yeah.
You want to know what I really did? Do you know what I really
did? Probably scratched your ass and ate some more food that was in your luxury box.
No. What I really did is after I saw the swing from Cesaro, I left for the bathroom.
Yeah.
I didn't even
see it.
Well,
that was all that. Yeah.
I didn't even see it.
I believe it. Well, yeah, I wish I was you. Jay gets in a badass-looking super kick to Swagger, however, here. This was a good one. He kicks him good, and Swagger sells it perfectly. And that sets up Jimmy for his super fly splash. The pin. Usos. We say us. Y'all say os. Yeah,
no.
No. Well, Daniel Bryan comes out for his six-man tag match, but we get Randy Orton first, and he's not involved in the match. Why is he coming out? Well, he's there to tell Bryan that he's in way over his head. And this was a good promo, too, because he kept referring to that. I like these promos where as a theme.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in way over your head for thinking he even has the smallest chance of beating him at Hell in a Cell. Quick promo, kind of was like, okay, thanks, Randy. But it did have a theme, so it was good. Then we got that Daniel Bryan, Goldie Rhodes versus The Shield. Great match.
Very good match.
Very good match. Went all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Tables.
Mm-hmm.
That's where their clip from the We Need a Spanish Announce Table on Friday night.
Yeah.
They threw him into the table. Daniel Bryan gets all the shine in the end by taking out Rollins and Ambrose with a flying goat to the outside. Grabs Ambrose, throws him back in, hits the double running knee. Pinfall. Winners, Goldie Rhodes and D-Bry. Goldie Rhodes and D-Bry.
I like these nicknames.
Right?
Innovative.
Hire me. Daniel Bryan celebrates with some yes chants, and we go off the air.
Smackdown. And I will give you just a quick little, because I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
The dark main event. Yeah. The dark main event was Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. Not the most spectacular match. They kind of were just giving you a bunch of, here's what I do, here's what I do. Daniel Bryan gets the win and maybe a six-minute match, I want to say.
Okay.
And then, and what I thought was the coolest thing, Daniel Bryan referenced that he's from Seattle and said, hey, Kansas City.
Yeah.
You guys just broke our sound barrier record. Since you guys did, I will lead you not in a yes chant, but in the tomahawk chop.
Tomahawk chop.
So the entire crowd did the tomahawk yes. chop. And yes. for being a Kansas City Chiefs fan, that was really cool. And he goes, no one put this on YouTube because if I go back home, they're going to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah. For anybody, we do have some overseas listeners. Maybe people didn't know the Seattle Seahawks NFL football team had set this sound record for loudest outdoor NFL stadium or loudest outdoor crowd.
It was like 120 decibels.
Right. And then they came to Kansas City and Guinness was there.
Yeah. And we broke that shit.
And we broke that record.
I don't think it's legit, but they said we broke this shit.
Yeah, you think it's a lie, but we broke it. I believe it. Because it's Arrowhead. And then he was congratulating us that. And the tomahawk chop is probably a racist chant that... that we've done for the Chiefs, where it's it sounds like a war chant from a Native American or Indian, as it were, thing. So that was a pretty big deal. I'm sure that really, that's a good proximity promo to get the crowd.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good.
Well, that's all we have for SmackDown.
Good show.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah,
like I said, the only thing I missed was the little Los Matadores thing because hey, I gotta piss sometime.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you picked the right time.
Yeah.
So we're going to come back. We've got another round of pay-per-view picks. Hell in a Cell.
Redeeming myself.
No, you're going to fail again, and I'm going to get ever so close, and then it's going to come down to Survivor Series.
And then I'm really going to kick your ass. No, I'm going to really kick your ass.
No, you ain't kicking nothing, because you're not an ass man. I love to kick them. You don't love that. I love to shove them even.
That's three times tonight.
Man, because I'm an ass man. I can't help but talk about the ass. I love to shove them. I love to stick them.
Three times. It's enough.
I'm an ass man. And this ass man's coming back to the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network after this quick break.
Wrestling fans, are you scouring the internet looking for places to buy your favorite wrestling-related merchandise? Well, look no further, because you can find all the wrestling merchandise you could ever need at ShoppersHideout.com. That's ShopperHideout.com. ShoppersHideout.com. At ShoppersHideout.com, you can find WWE and TNA replica belts, replica masks, life-size cardboard stand-ups of your favorite superstars and or wrestlers, t-shirts, pants, action figures, buttons, pendants, bracelets, and so much more from superstars like CM Punk, Randy Orton, Triple H, The Undertaker, Chris Jericho, Edge, John Cena, Rey Mysterio, and many, many more. So what are you waiting for? Don't walk around town wearing an Ed Hardy t-shirt. Log on to ShoppersHideout.com and buy yourself a Jeff Hardy t-shirt. And while you're there, get a replica of the WWE Raw Spinning Championship belt and wear that too. And then I can promise you that everyone you meet will be talking about you. And it's all because you shop at ShoppersHideout.com, your source for everything wrestling. ShoppersHideout.com.
Yo, 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 yo. Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. We're bringing it, bringing it. Bringing the hood to you. We're bringing it, bringing it. What you gonna do? We're bringing it, bringing
it. I feel like I could, I'd like to see crime time back.
Oh,
with the
current
tag team landscape.
Oh, yeah. Crime time and the Real Americans?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, that'd be good, man. Man, crime time. I feel like they'd fit in well right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. Not going to happen.
And I think they would fit in better and have more longevity if they had Edge. Yeah,
had
bring the
edge
hood to you.
To
yeah.
Them. Yeah.
Oh,
we're... not like bring an Edge out with them?
No. Yeah, not Edge the wrestler. Have some Edge
because that would
to
not
the character.
Work.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't have any. Yeah. But have some real, you know, have some grit.
Yeah.
You want to see the hood? You know, we take baseball bats to your
bringing
cars.
The hood to you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We rob you on the way to your match.
Stealing championships and stuff, man.
Yeah, I took your tights.
Hell no.
Now go wrestle.
Guy comes out in a towel.
What the? This is Valvinus?
Yeah. All right, Hell in a Cell is coming up on Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now I won't lay any goose eggs.
I'm about to slap you around with some picks.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Let's kick it off with kickoff show, Intercontinental Championship match, Big E Langston versus Curtis Axel.
I got Curtis Axel pinfall in a really good match that starts a feud.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing. Pinfall. Yeah. Yeah, because I want to say they're going to go Langston, but I don't see them doing that.
It's too early.
It's too early. Yeah, and I don't really see any interference really happening. I mean, there's might be some distraction, some heel tactics, some cheating. But no run-in or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Heyman might yell at the ref or something, but nothing crazy.
Right. So, a WWE Tag Team Championship match. Goldie Rhodes, Usos, Reigns, and Rollins.
All right, I went first.
Yeah,
I'm
okay, I'll go first on this
first
one.
One.
I'm going to say Goldust and Cody Rhodes maintain this one. They're going to win. And Cody Rhodes is going to hit the crossroads. Which, I mean, doesn't count really for our points, but so pinfall.
Is this elimination tag?
No.
Just triple threat?
Yeah, it doesn't say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's your pick?
Mm-hmm. Goldust and Cody Rhodes, pinfall.
All right. I've got the Shield.
The Shield.
Reclaiming the titles.
Reclaiming the titles.
Goldust turns on Cody Rhodes.
Now, already.
Setting up for the Survivor Series. We have to have a match at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So who did they wrestle? The Shield again?
Yeah. So Shield wins. Pinfall? Submission?
Pinfall.
Pinfall.
Yeah, Goldust will do his finish, leave Cody to like laying there, and
This will score you an extra point if you get the Goldust heel turn, because I'll count it as a run-in.
God, what's his name? Not
who?
Black and blonde hair.
Rollins.
Rollins. For some reason, I was thinking of his other...
Tyler Black.
Yeah, Tyler Black. That's all I could think of. Tyler Black. Seth Rollins will then crawl and cover them, and you know the Usos will be taken out. They'll just be
of course,
yeah,
yeah, they're filler.
Yeah,
Divas Championship, AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Seems like I've had this match before.
Yep.
Yeah. What do you say?
I still get AJ Lee.
AJ Lee.
I'm gonna say submission again too. I don't give a damn.
Widow's Peak.
Yep.
Brie Bella.
Ugh.
Bella Buster.
Ugh.
Pinfall.
Ugh.
New Divas Champion.
Ugh.
Yeah. I feel like it's not going to happen, but I got to pick something different here.
Yeah, I like it. Good. Good for you.
World Heavyweight Championship match.
Cena, we know. Cena, F5. You don't even say it. I don't care to hear their names.
You're picking Cena,
Pinfall? Yep. Cena, Pinfall, F5. Yeah! And he does his little fist thing where he's like fisting someone.
I'm going to say Cena, Pinfall. But I'm going to say the cash in.
What?
The cash.
Oh, that would be badass.
I haven't seen Damian Sandow lately, have
no.
you?
No. Oh, you got me on that one. Yeah. That's the shit.
The cash in.
Oh, man.
The cash in. Now, I don't really know how it's going to go, but I've got to think Sandow's going to win. But I still sense there could be a Sandow loses. You know what I mean? Still sets up a feud.
Yeah.
But the cash in's coming. Sandow's going to come up and this is going to be the cash.
I like that.
I'm not guaranteeing which way it goes, but the cash in's coming.
No, you got to go. No, that's a new match, so pick it.
Okay. Yeah, it is a new match.
All right, so pick it.
So I could get it.
Yeah,
you if get I correctly it. Pick
yeah,
the cash
all
in
of it.
Match.
Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom.
So if the cash in happens, I'll get 1 point.
Right.
Now it's a new match.
Mm-hmm. And I can't pick because I didn't pick the cash in.
Okay.
So
yeah,
this is bonus points
yeah.
for you.
God, that's tough.
Yeah, it is. Come on.
It's tough.
You called it, so let me see it.
I'm going to say cash in heavens. I'm going to say Cena wins.
Oh!
Pinfall.
No!
Yeah. Yeah. No! I just see that happening because then it's even Uber. Hey, it's still there.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah.
Cheese and crackers.
As much as it pains me to say that. Oh, man, this is where I could really smack around some picks.
Yeah.
All right, Hell in a Cell handicap match. CM Punk versus Ryback and Paul Heyman. You want me to go?
Yes.
Okay. CM Punk is going to win this.
Okay.
And it's going to be, is this elimination?
No, I don't think so, no.
CM Punk is going to GTS Ryback. He's going to knock him out. And he's going to, I think he's going to submit Paul Heyman after a lengthy thing, and he's going to do it with, what's his big submission called? What's he do the most often?
Oh, the Anaconda Choke.
Yes, the Anaconda Vice.
The Anaconda Vice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually not a choke. It manipulates
no.
the elbow.
No. CM Punk's going to win by pinfall because he's going to hit that GTS on Paul Heyman, and the crowd is going to fucking flip when that GTS happens.
I think he'll hit it, but I don't think that'll be the finish. I have Punk by pinfall.
Huh.
I think he will make him tap.
Submission.
Mm-hmm. Because.
With the Anaconda?
Yeah, with the Anaconda. Because.
If that happens, I'm going to be so mad that I changed my.
Right. Because you need a new chant for Paul Heyman. What's the new one?
You tapped out.
Mm. That's what I got. And I got him screaming in his face, you know.
Yeah.
Letting out all that aggression.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that then this is it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. Hope it's done.
So I feel like the tap would signify, like,
okay.
You know, because if you pin me, oh, fast count, yada, 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 Paul Heyman could say those things.
Yeah.
If you say
it. Damn it, I shouldn't have changed my mind. That's all right, I'm getting all them points with that cash in.
That's a
I
great
could get a
call.
Whole other 8 points
that's
out
a
of
great
nowhere.
Call.
Nine, essentially, with the cash
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Hell in a Cell, WWE Vacant Championship, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton. This is almost the hardest one for me to pick.
Yep.
This
is a hard one for me to pick because of an earlier pick, and they don't typically do what I'm thinking twice in one night. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So initially, I thought, okay, this is cool. This is initially what I thought. This isn't what I want. Initially, I thought Daniel Bryan goes for the double knees as he's running. super kick, whack him. HBK turns heel. Orton gets the RKO, wins by pinfall. Everyone comes into the ring. Hey, hey, hey. There we go. Right? The authority.
His teacher, his
yes
mentor.
Hey, it's his best friend. He knows what's best for business. My best friend knows what's best. You're just a student I taught. Okay? Now, what makes this a little cloudy for me.
Shawn Michaels got to be around more often if he does that.
No, he doesn't. Because then he could come back on Monday night and say, Daniel Bryan, you were never anything. Have a Monday, two Monday night things
but
in a row.
They turn him back face eventually? Because they don't want him as a
heel. Oh, time. Like, time heals all that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how many times has Vince McMahon been the heel, and then the next time he's back, he's a babyface?
Yeah.
So time heals. So I think he does the heel. Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, okay.
But where it makes it cloudy is I have Goldust turning earlier in the night. Mm-hmm. They don't usually do two heel turns same night.
Right.
So this is what I've got. I've got Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Wins a championship.
Okay.
Clean. Of Randy Orton finally gets his night in the sun.
Pinfall, submission?
Night in the sun. That made no sense. Finally gets his moment in the sun.
Were you in Alaska?
No, I meant to say moment in the sun his night. You guys know what I meant. Don't kill me on that.
Yeah.
His moment in the sun. And then I just got him and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Pinfall, submission?
Pinfall.
I'm going to say, see, I haven't picked a heel turn.
You son of a bitch. Do it.
But I'm not going to steal your idea because that wasn't my idea. But I'm going to say, this is so tough. Yeah, it's got to be Daniel Bryan winning, doesn't it?
I feel like it has to be. Finally actually gets a title run going into a pay-per-view. You know, his first one, Triple H cost him. The second one,
I feel like this is the only way they can continue on the storyline is if he wins the title and holds it.
Yeah. Because the second, okay, so his first one was Triple H and then Orton. Second one was, it was a fast count, give it back. This one is, now I finally have it. After all this time, I'm the champ, goes into Survivor Series.
But where are they leading with the Shawn Michaels? What's up with my friend angle? So if he, maybe Triple H tries to get Michaels to do the screw job. But the whole thing is, then later, again, that fallout has to happen. And I don't see them setting aside a whole lot of time for that fallout to happen.
Right.
Because there's not going to be a Triple H Michaels fight.
Or is there?
I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan wins clean, because every time I pick what I want to happen, it doesn't happen. Daniel Bryan, they go safe. Daniel Bryan, pinfall, clean. Triple H maybe comes out, tries to do something, but Shawn Michaels prevents it. Maybe Shawn Michaels gets in a super kick to Triple H, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pinfall. So there we go. You got Curtis Axel pinning, maintaining, or retaining the Intercontinental Championship. The Shield winning the WWE Tag Team Championships off of a Gold Dust heel turn on Cody. You have AJ Lee retaining the Divas Championship with a Widow's Peak. John Cena winning the World Heavyweight Championship with a pinfall. CM Punk submitting.
Yes.
Yes, I have pinfall and submission in there. You got a pinfall submission.
That'd be cool.
CM Punk submits Paul Heyman with the Anaconda Vice. And Daniel Bryan wins the WWE Championship with a pinfall. I have Curtis Axel retaining his Intercontinental Championship. Long IC run here for Axel.
Over, 150 days now.
Goldust and Cody Rhodes retaining the tag team titles. Brie Bella becoming your new Divas Champion. John Cena winning the World Heavyweight Championship only to meet Damian Sandow with a Money in the Bank cash-in. However, Super Cena prevails and retains and sends Damian Sandow off sullen and sad. Then CM Punk, GTS to Paul Heyman, pinfall, Daniel Bryan pinning Randy Orton. World.
So we have some cool little wrinkles. I have a wrinkle with Goldust, Cody Rhodes. You have the wrinkle with
the Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. Shorty, what you think?
Man, what if both of those could happen? And a Shawn Michaels heel turn. What if all of that happens?
Or a Cena heel turn.
We'll just agree that.
I hope
if all those things. Oh, the Cena heel turn.
If the Cena heel turn happens and you don't pick it, that would be amazing. I would let you beat me just because you didn't pick that.
Yeah. Anytime the Cena heel turn happens, I automatically get 150 points.
If you pick it.
If I didn't pick it. Just because it's like, okay, no. All right, so there's our Hell in a Cell picks. We'll see who won, who looks like an idiot.
We all know who won.
Well, yeah, it was me.
Now, you win the TNA things. Who cares? That's small fish. I'm going after these big fish, okay? I'm going after these sharks. You're fishing for catfish. I'm going after these sharks.
Catfish is delicious.
Hey, so are sharks.
So are sharks. You ate much shark lately?
Why not? I've been in Florida a couple times. Had one or two.
All right. We're going to come back. We're going to get into our emails and maybe a final thought from you that you promised us earlier.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll see if we got a dollar.
Oh, man. I still love the water.
Yeah. Spanish Announce Table, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you can do this with the Chiefs.
Yeah. Tomahawk chop. Chiefs. 7-0, baby.
Yeah, and I think they're going 8 because they're playing Cleveland. And fun fact for those overseas that are listening and don't know much about football, one thing you can always count on, Cleveland sucks at all sports. They suck at all sports.
Cleveland just, Chiefs, man. The only undefeated team in the National Football League. If the playoffs were right now, home field advantage. How about that? Kansas City. Love my Chiefs. Anyway, you know what? I'm going to go back to my picks. The big surprise heel turn, Tatanka. He's going to come out. He's going to come out. He's going to chop Daniel Bryan. He's going to hand the title over to Randy Orton. And he's going to be the new enforcer. Tatanka.
That'd be funny.
Yeah?
Or Iron Sheik is Dolph Ziggler told us. Maybe he's telling them.
Yes. God, if you haven't heard our last episode, episode 12, with the Dolph Ziggler, Martin Thomas interviews, go check that out.
Make sure make sure you're watching or listening to that.
Yeah.
We're watching it if you have the enhanced radio.
And you get to hear about T-Mac getting zigzagged. I mean, how awesome is that?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got some emails.
I like it. Let me hear them. Oh, fun fact for those who aren't aware, every time I say I want to hear it, it's because I literally haven't heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to hear the news because I want my reaction to be genuine.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear the emails because I want my reaction to be genuine.
Yeah, so I have to suffer.
Yes.
Okay. We have two emails.
By who?
Mop Jockey.
Okay.
And Cataclysmic.
What?
Yes.
Okay, you know what? We're going to have a meeting about this off air. Yeah,
okay.
But I believe we're going to just, instead of calling this email, we're going to make these guys the contributors.
Yeah, exactly.
And call this the contributors.
Yeah, it's just got to be, we'll come up with something.
Now, if you send us an email and we'll read it.
Yeah.
On air.
Right.
But I think we
but
should
until
just
we
do
get other people's emails, yeah, we're just going to call this a segment somehow. I don't know what we're going
to. The contributors.
We're
going
to have to come up with some kind of. Yeah. It's got to be some kind of tag team kind of theme thing here. Right. But
we'll think of it.
Because these guys, I mean, they might put in more work than we do on this show.
Definitely more than me.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely more work than me.
Cataclysmic, we'll start with him. He says, hey, guys.
Hello again.
Hi. So BFG is in the books, and I got a problem with Jeff Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Let me hear that.
What was the point of setting up the Ultimate X match? Because, it was something he's never done before, end quote. I don't think that was the quote, but okay. But then he tries to win the match by climbing a ladder instead of crawling along the cable. Stupid, what he puts in here. Great interview with Dolph last week, and I would give you guys a dollar each. But I got robbed by a hobo.
Sorry for the news. Yeah.
Sorry, we're laughing at your. You got robbed by a hobo. Keep up with the audio whoop ass. Kata out.
Kata out.
Kata out.
You want to go first on this, or you want me to go first?
Yeah, I thought it was stupid, and I mentioned that too. I said, I thought, okay, is this because of the shtick? Because it's Jeff Hardy. And I thought maybe something was wrong with the structure. You know, they threw Abyss into it earlier, and the commentators remarked about how it was shaking. Throwing Abyss or Joseph Park into it for a shoulder check shouldn't have rocked that thing. So then I thought,
Right.
You know, maybe there was some issue, and they thought. But then I remembered on Impact, he brought a ladder into the thing.
Fighting. Jeff Hardy is to ladders as Triple H is to sledgehammers.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean,
here's my thing. I don't know how old he is, but in wrestling years, he's freaking old.
Oh, yeah, he's 60 in wrestling years. Yeah.
And I don't think he can climb.
And propel himself, like, upside down.
Yeah,
like do.
I don't think he can do that.
Yeah, because you don't see him doing the, like, he's not walking along, like, he couldn't walk along the top of it or anything. Yeah. Probably can't keep his balance.
I think he couldn't do it, so how else can he get the Ultimate
and
X?
Since he hasn't been on drugs, so we know, he's been less daredevilish.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he hits a couple of his high spots, but you don't see him doing the crazy things. I think maybe because he can think to himself, maybe I shouldn't do this.
Right. Yeah, I just think he can't climb, can't propel himself to get the X, so grab a ladder. And it works because, like I said, that's his thing, the ladder.
It sucked, but... Kata, awesome. Thank you.
Go find that hobo.
Kick his ass.
Yeah, and if we find him, we'll kick his ass for you.
I'm going to beat up the first hobo I see.
Yeah, why not?
And steal $2 from him, and then I'm going to know who. I'm going to keep it because you were going to send it to us anyway.
Right, yeah.
Next one.
Well, give me one of the dollars.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that. Mop jockey.
Mop.
Mop jizzle. Actually, that's probably not a good.
No, that's not. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Sounds like a catcher for when you masturbate.
Ew.
Yeah, so we're just going to call him the mop jockey. So mop jockey, what do you got for us?
We should edit that out. You can't say that. He's got a really big beard, too, so that's all I'm thinking of right now.
Ew.
Mop jockey. Says, to add to talk of the WWE Network.
Yeah.
When we were talking about
last week. Yes, 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 yes.
He said, what about it being an internet network similar to Netflix with an $8 to $10 price point? Said, I know I would be in, but I don't know if they could do live events. I don't know if they could do live events either because we've seen a lot of these iPay-per-views flop.
Well, but it wouldn't flop WWE.
It's WWE, yeah, right. Yeah. That's, I don't know if they'd do their live events if you had that price point, but I could see them doing... I think they've tried something like that. TNA tried that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a $10 a month thing.
Yeah,
for a while,
you could watch every match.
Anything they've ever done.
Every match.
Ever done.
I did it for a couple months.
Yeah. It didn't seem to work for TNA.
Well,
but there's less demand.
Yeah.
So I don't know, to be honest with you. I would like it, absolutely, even if they didn't do the live events, just to have the back catalog of everything, especially with their video library. Everything they've purchased and bought from all the old territories be amazing.
I think that's a great idea, but with Vince McMahon's ego, I think he would see that as a failure, and he doesn't accept failure, as we know. And I think he's saying to himself or to his team, we're going all in on this network. And if it fails, then it failed. But we're not going to plan B. We're staying with this, and we have to do it because I'm Vince McMahon. I said I was going to do it. Damn it, I'm going to do it.
How about this? Here's what I think should happen. You have the WWE Network. It's a cable television network that you purchase through your cable network
provider.
Television provider. On top of that, you have something very similar to the Watch ESPN app, where you can then have the app or the website, and you put in your cable provider information, and you can watch anything that's happening on the network, live on the thing, and you can watch some back replays of things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, I think they're going to do that with their app, because, hell,
with the territory.
Well, and I think they're going to do that with their app anyhow, because how many damn times have we heard how to install the fucking thing? Jesus.
Let's not get into that.
God, the only thing worse about how to install that WWE app is if Michael Cole told us that we're going to see it, how it will be installed, and then Cena shows you how to do it. That would be the only way I would make me slit my throat. Don't make me slit my throat, WWE, because I know you're listening.
What if he like waved his iPhone in front of his face like, you can't see me?
Oh, my God. And then Hornswoggle at the very end's like, download it today.
Hey!
All right. And Kali's in the background dressed as fucking Elvis again.
Oh, my God.
Man, I really shit on that, didn't I?
Thanks for ruining the entire show.
Yeah.
The show was going great.
And then I brought up the Cena Bray Wyatt thing.
Hey guys, who shit in the punch bowl?
But thank you again, contributors.
Yes, Mop Jockey, Cataclysmic, our honorary co-hosts.
Yep.
Yeah. Our field investigative reporters.
Yes.
Cataclysmic and the Mop Jockey. Yeah. Anybody else wants to be as cool as these guys? You can send in an email to tableshow@gmail.com. I don't know why you haven't done it. One other guy has done it.
Charlie. Thanks, Charlie.
Yeah, where you been, Charlie?
No, that's not true. Charlie and then John.
John did, yes.
John, I believe he was the second person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. There was a John.
John. John and Charlie, come
John
on.
And Charlie.
Get your asses in
What's
gear.
Up? What are you guys doing?
Yeah. I know you're listening.
What are you, just struggling, spending all of your efforts on trying to figure out how to download the WWE app?
Do you not know how to spell? There is autocorrect.
tableshow@gmail.com.
There you go.
If you don't know, if you can't remember, hit us up at tableshow on Twitter.
Or
we'll tell you.
Or your ass better call somebody.
Your ass better call somebody. You had a final thought you were going to get into.
I did, and it's quick, but it's something I noticed that kind of irritates me. TNA, you're already number two. Right?
As far as like number two also.
Yes. So
you see what I did there?
Yes. Yeah. I did. I liked it. But to make yourself different.
Yeah.
Don't steal the two damn storylines from both title pictures.
I figured that's where you were going.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
AJ Lee has Snuka.
Yeah.
So now Gail Kim
has Lady Tappa.
Lady Tappa.
That's somebody that looks almost exactly like her.
Right. Daniel Bryan can't get the title. He's, you know, fighting for it because... Fighting the company owners. So you give AJ the title. Okay, a little wrinkle, but he's fighting the company owner.
Maybe a little wrinkle. We might not... If we picked correctly, it won't...
Yeah. I mean, God's sakes.
Ugh.
Come on, TNA.
Yeah, I know. I get that there's only a few stories that you can tell, period. You know, movies, television.
How about this?
Stories.
Just don't do it at the same time.
Exactly.
Wait 6 months.
One of them I get. Because I get you can say, okay, here's a story they're doing or have done. We think they shit the bed on it. We can do it better.
Right.
But right now you're kind of doing it exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
So if it doesn't start to skew off in a different direction pronto, then you're just copying.
Right. Yeah, it's so dumb. Now, I like the work of Dixie Carter. I like the work of Randy Orton. I like the work of Stephanie. I like the work of all of these people. Just TNA, stop fucking copying.
Please.
At the same time, at least.
Please. Yeah.
So that's my final thought.
It's a good final thought. I don't have one of my own. So.
Oh, good.
I'll say that's mine too. Because I'm going to be TNA.
That's R, yeah.
Because I'm going to be TNA.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
So that's it, man. Yes. Number 13. Lucky number 13.
In the books.
In the books. It's past midnight. I'm going to go home.
For us. Not for you, maybe.
Sleep it off.
Yep.
Then mix this together. Mm-hmm. So look for it fresh in the morning. You don't have to look for it fresh in the morning. You're already listening to it. You've already listened to it. Yes. So I'm an idiot. But it's after midnight, and I need some sleep.
You're delirious.
I've got stuff to do. I'm a man. I've got grown-up stuff to do. I got to get up and make my kids like lunch in the morning. Get them to
that
the school
bus. That
is
grown-up stuff. That is grown-up stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to make them, I'll mess it up. I'll make them like a jelly sandwich. And just
where's the peanut butter?
Oops.
It's a new kind of sandwich, son.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, tableshow@gmail.com, @tableshow on Twitter, @TitanTMac on Twitter, @TheAwesomeVoice on Twitter. A lot of Twitter going on.
Yes. Facebook, search The Table Show. Yes.
You don't even got to search it. I've made a name for it.
Oh.
I went in there, but you can search for it by Spanish Announce Table
Spanish
Podcast.
Spanish, yeah.
Or you can go straight to Facebook.com/, let me make sure I got this right before I make myself look like an idiot. Facebook.com/Spanish Announce Table Podcast.
Yes.
In the URL.
Yes.
It'll take you right to it. You'll see Batista's big ugly back tattoo and John Cena crash through a Spanish Announce Table. There you go.
There you go.
So do all that stuff. Send us an email. Send us a dollar. And we'll be back next week on the Trending Topics Network for the Spanish Announce Table. The place of the dead. Crypto.